everyone. Happy Tuesday. We're excited that you're all jumping on board with us. Of course, got a lot to dive into throughout today's show and a great lineup of guests coming your way in just a few moments. So join us for the next 3 hours. We've got a lot to dive into. I'll be joined by Nick Sorter later on in the show today, as well as Steve Dace is going to be joining the program. And Ezra Levant, he's outside of the courtroom. Tommy Robinson just concluded his terrorism trial. Now, although we don't know the verdict, we do know what happened inside the courtroom thanks to Ezra over at Rebel News. So he'll be joining us in about 30 minutes, I'd say, to give us the very latest in front of that courthouse. We're excited about that. We're also excited that President Trump yesterday was able to land a massive, massive victory, bringing some peace for now to the Middle East and bringing home the hostages. That was a big one. So many incredible stories we were able to see all throughout the day in regards to the reunions. Obviously, 20 hostages were handed back to Israel yesterday, as well as over 1,000 prisoners, terrorists, Islamic terrorists, were given back to Hamas. So there's a lot to be happy about, a lot to be a little critical of. We look forward to talking about that today. I know a lot of you, too. If you follow me on X, you probably saw my post yesterday. I was watching the interview that Alex Jones did with Tucker Carlson, and it was a very, very interesting interview. I'd highly recommend everyone go check that out. But there's a very key part in that interview where Alex calls out Todd Blanche, and we're going to be talking about the allegations that Blanche is now facing, because a lot of people are calling Blanche out for being the person who's blocking the will of the people, what we elected President Trump to do. That's to free the political prisoners. That is to end the lawfare, go after those who committed lawfare. And there's a couple of people who haven't been pardoned. And so we're going to talk about that in great depth today, because honestly, folks, I'm kind of enraged when it comes to the fact that we still have political prisoners under the Biden regime in prison. And it makes matters even worse because there was one individual who was sentenced to prison time, even though the DOJ under Trump didn't want this individual sentenced to prison time, and he is now serving 33 months in federal prison. Now, he's eligible for a pardon. For some reason, hasn't been given that pardon. So we're going to do a deep dive into all of that, because I think it's really interesting that these things are not working out for us. We, the people, did not elect President Trump for kind of some justice and then leaving out others. We wanted everyone to be freed. And that was the big tone yesterday. I know it got a lot of people really upset on X because they don't like it when you call out members of this administration. But the reality of it is this is what you're supposed to do. Because you don't wait another 3 years and find out that this person was stonewalling President Trump's administration, the people behind him, for example. You don't want to sit here and just play nice all the time. You want to call it out when you see it, so you're not wasting time. There are people sitting in federal prison right now who shouldn't be in there. And we need to be their voice. And so I look forward to doing that in just a few moments as well. So there's a lot to kick off with today. We're excited that you're all jumping on board. Nick Sorter actually has a very interesting perspective, too, in the FBI's very new investigation into Antifa. He actually is someone who apparently is helping the FBI. It's not just him. Glenn Beck also saying the FBI met with him over the weekend to go into the information that he's gathered into Antifa. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. A lot happening all around the world today. We're excited that you're all joining us, of course. I also wanted to remind you that at 4 p.m. today, President Trump is going to be giving Charlie Kirk's wife the Medal of Freedom. It is for, obviously, Charlie. Today would have been his 32nd birthday. And so this is going to be a very, very beautiful ceremony. But it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that Charlie's not going to be here to appreciate that. But thankfully, his wife will be present at the White House later today. So we'll be following everything going on and we'll bring you the very latest. So don't go anywhere. We've got plenty of the American Journal kicking off in just a few moments.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on board today with us. I am Brianna Morello. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. A lot to kick off today. I've got some incredible guests joining the show. In just a few moments, we'll be joined by Ezra Levant. He is the journalist over at Rebel News. He has been outside and inside the courtroom for Tommy Robinson's terrorism trial, which is laughable if you know Tommy. You know he's not a terrorist, but obviously things in the UK are not looking too good. So Ezra's going to be joining the show to give us the very latest. The trial itself has concluded. We don't know the verdict as of yet, but Tommy just walked out of the courtroom just a few moments ago. So Ezra's going to give us the very latest. Also, the media yesterday, BBC, actually tried to censor Ezra because they didn't like that he was covering it from inside the courtroom yesterday. It's insane, but this is what's going on right now in the UK. Steve Dace is also going to be joining the show in a little bit as well. Steve, obviously one of the incredible journalists over at Blaze TV, but we got a lot to sound off with him in regards to immigration because these non-US citizens who are trying their very best to work and take American jobs aren't happy right now. Because President Trump just pulled their CDL licenses for most of these individuals. And one who's been in the country for years, who can't even speak English, is sounding off about it to the local news, and he's really upset that he can't send money back to India. And so I've got a lot of questions for Steve as to how we're supposed to feel about this, because I don't support it. I'm sure he doesn't either. We'll also be joined by Nick Sorter in a little bit as well, because Nick, obviously, he was in Portland. We all saw what happened there. He's been a very busy man, but he also met with the FBI in regards to Antifa. And they're doing an investigation into Antifa. Even Glenn Beck yesterday talking about how the FBI did go to his home and asked him all these questions and about his research into Antifa. And so it looks like there is going to be an extensive investigation into the organization. The organization that they don't want you to know is an organization. So Nick's going to be joining us in a little bit as well to give us the latest on that front too. But let's kick off the show by talking about how amazing yesterday was for President Trump. Remember when they said he was going to kick off World War III if he made his way back into the White House? Well, World War III is not going as planned. The president now has negotiated what looks like the end of the war between Israel and Hamas, which would be good news if you truly do want world peace. And the rest of us are excited about that, of course. But there's a reality that we confronted yesterday on the show, obviously. We're dealing with jihadists. And although we're going to sit here and say that the war is over, they're just getting ready to go and continue to attack Israel. It's never 100% over. But for now, the White House can definitely take a victory lap because the 20 hostages that were being held by Hamas have been freed and they are back in Israel right now. So let's focus a little bit on the good. The good is that these hostages are back with their families, 20 of them. Now, unfortunately, there are several who didn't make it home, obviously. Their corpses have not been brought back to Israel. And I know that was a part of the agreement. I believe we've only counted at least four bodies have been brought back into Israel. There are several other that are still missing. We do not know what the status on all of that is and if Hamas plans on turning them over, but their families obviously do want them back home as well. So we're following that, but we're also following President Trump and the comments that he was making yesterday because it was very interesting to see. Obviously, he received several standing ovations, both sides saying that none of this would have been possible without the president, which is key in all of this, of course. But he also gave yesterday a shout out to Hillary Clinton. I'm going to play clip one for you because it highlights exactly what Hillary was doing behind the scenes and the type of fear mongering that she was also doing. Take a listen.
But when you settle eight wars in 8 months, that means you don't like war. Everyone thought I was going to be brutal. In fact, I remember Hillary Clinton during a debate, she said, look at him, look at him. He's going to go to war with everybody. And actually, she said, he's got a personality that's all about war. No, and my personality actually is all about stopping wars. And it seems to work. Seems to work. But it also means this name change and our attitude that we're not going to go into a war. But if we do, we're going to win that war like nobody has ever won a war before. We will not be politically correct.
You see, that's how you bring people to the table to negotiate a deal. When they fear you, that's when they're more willing to come forward. And Hillary Clinton doesn't understand that. See, people fear her because they know she's corrupt. People fear President Trump because they know that he's not just saying things that, well, he's making promises. So this is the difference between Hillary Clinton and President Donald Trump. It's why the American people elected President Donald Trump 3 times. And although there are a lot of people out there that do not want to believe in that, the reality is the American people are with President Trump. They just saw one of the best peace negotiations go on right before their very eyes. And unfortunately, for those on the left, they have to sit there and celebrate with us. Is it, if they don't, well, it just highlights how evil these people really are. And they are really, really evil. I want to bounce over to clip two because clip two has a former hostage on CNN praising both President Trump, but also celebrating the return of all of the hostages. Take a listen.
Well, I think President Trump needs to know that we really thank him. And it was hard for us to say it in advance because we couldn't really believe that was true. 20 hostages are actually coming. All of them are alive. All of them look good. And the fact that he made it, he promised and he kept his word and hostages are here is just amazing. And we want to thank him for that.
That is the best way to do just that. Go on CNN and that is the audience you want to reach with that message. The reality is President Trump is the only person who could have pulled this off. And now the return of these 20 hostages is something worth celebrating. Now, the long-term damage done to these individuals is going to be devastating for them to confront. I mean, even one of them was digging his own grave in a video. They forced him to do just that, and they posted that online. So the reality of it is yes, it's going to be a very difficult recovery effort for all of them. But at least they're home with their families, and they have President Trump to thank for that. Because no other world leader was looking to come to the table and negotiate between both Israel and Hamas and end this war. No one. Now, again, I'm not going to lie to you and tell you that this war is completely over. We strongly believe Hamas will do its very best to go out there and to continue to attack Israel because this isn't just about a one-time war. This is something that they're going to do time and time again. And sadly, over, 1,500 prisoners have been released. All of them likely are all terrorists. And then we'll go back likely to being terrorists. The war is not over for them. But for now, let's just focus on the good. The good is President Trump did an incredible job at negotiating the end of all of this, bringing home 20 hostages that no other world leader was looking to bring home. And so we have a lot to celebrate, a lot to be thankful for. President Trump has his work cut out for him, and he has not backed down from any of this, even when it was getting extremely, extremely rough to handle. You know, the women on The View, they're obviously unbearable, and I wouldn't recommend you ever watching because, well, why would you? But it's interesting because Alyssa Farah is one of the many individuals over there who is just a Trump hater, pretends to be a Republican, pretends to be balanced and giving you the perspective, but she cowardly backs down quite often from being combative with the other women on the program, the panel itself, because you don't want to pick those fights with those liberal women because they're nasty, they're cruel, they'll just talk over you, it'll become a screaming match. And so most of the time she complies. But she said that if President Trump were to bring home these hostages, that she, in fact, would be wearing a MAGA hat. And we're looking to cash in on that offer. Take a listen to clip three.
My point when I say I'm not going to be apocalyptic, it's not changing a tune. It's not making every single thing a 5-alarm fire. Yeah. If he does good, if he gets the Israeli hostages out, I promise I will wear a MAGA hat for one day on the show and say, thank you for doing it.
Yeah.
And I know she'll knock it right off my head. But like, you have to be able to cheer for wins when they happen and then call out relentlessly the wrongdoing. Well,
Please don't do that. Like, why are these people so unbearable? Why are they such a miserable, miserable women? Well, she's going to have to do that. She's got to make good on her promise because we have the reel. We have the tape. So, yeah, you better put that MAGA hat on today. Listen, folks, I don't truly care for the women on The View. I've just had enough of listening to them bitch all the time, honestly. They are miserable, miserable women who offer nothing to society, just continue to go on air, bash the president of the United States while praising a man who is literally just a warm corpse every day. The last 4 years, we had to sit there and listen to their lies about Joe Biden as if he was really running the show. Even when he came on their show, they knew he wasn't well, but they continued to sit there and pretend like everything was okay. Those are the kind of women you can't trust. And it's really hard to wrap my mind around the fact that they still have a show. Their credibility is completely shot. You can't trust any of them. The last 4 years, they've been lying to you. Past that too, but they've been lying to you and pretending like everything's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. These women are just so unbearable. And the fact that they can't handle diversity when it comes to opinions tells you all you need to know about them. I don't even know how they're still on cable news. Truly don't. Truly don't. I'm going to keep going back and forth in regards to the media on this because I feel like today's show, we're going to be hitting the media hard today because everyone's a coward. Everyone's a coward. And when it's time to celebrate something as incredible as bringing 20 hostages home, those in the media don't really want to celebrate. In fact, we're going to play clip 4 for you because this one reporter on Air Force One was trying to ask President Trump questions in regards to slowing down peace in the Middle East. I mean, it's insane that they're trying to make this argument, but listen to how President Trump responded to that.
I might say it feels premature declaring peace for the whole Middle East, you know, 3,000 years of peace.
You want more people to be killed? What do you want, another 300,000-400,000 people to be killed? Is that what you're looking for?
But in terms of the risks in Gaza, you know, we're already seeing...
The risk. So you mean let them fight on for another couple of years and let some more buildings fall down on top of people and keep it going? No, no, we did it the right way. We did it. I think our timing was perfect, actually.
The preservation of human lives isn't a top priority for these people. They don't care. He just took away one of the things that they could criticize him for. And so now they're upset. Did you rush too quickly to bring peace to the Middle East, Mr. President? I mean, imagine having the audacity to ask the most powerful man in the world that type of stupid, stupid question. They teach you that in a journalism school, in case you're wondering. The level of stupidity amongst those in the media is really off the charts at this point. You see, they don't think before they actually speak, and it's fine, right, if it was an honest mistake, but it's not an honest mistake. It's a hidden agenda when they ask those types of questions. They don't want peace. They don't want any of that. Instead, they're upset because, well, Mr. President, we were going to criticize you about ending the war. But all the bloodshed that happened under your administration, now you just took that away from us. See, they're showing their true colors. Some of them are actually smart enough to hide it. Pretend like this is a win is how they're feeling about it, but they don't really like it. They don't like complimenting the president. They don't like having to sit there and pretend like this is okay. Like the president's doing a good job. The American people know he's doing a great job, and that's why you're going to see his polling numbers are going to skyrocket because the American people see through the garbage. You see, the preservation of human lives is what we're supposed to represent. And it looks like so far, that is a top priority. Again, the dumbest people all work in the media. I know this because they were all my former colleagues. They don't like to talk to me anymore, as many could probably assume, because I go out here all the time and hold them accountable, bash them quite often. But that's the reality. You're dealing with low IQ people. I would sit there in these editorial meetings and have to listen to what they thought the American people wanted to hear. Now, keep in mind, I didn't last long. I really didn't. I think every kind of media outlet that I worked at, I spent about a year and then moved on. Fox was too, but I was hired, worked, quit, went on a couple of years later, was rehired, and then quit. But every media outlet was the same. In news alone, I worked at 5 different media outlets, and they were all the same. All the same. Again, why do companies push things like the COVID vaccine mandates? Well, they want to make sure that their employees are the ones that comply. So if you work for a media outlet and people who are still there, who work there during the pandemic, I can promise you one thing. Those are all people who don't push back still working there. In fact, the only time they push back is on the president of the United States. Not their own bosses, though, of course. They don't challenge those in the editorial meetings either. They're all complicit. President Trump also is saying that he is done with funding terrorism, which obviously, according to my sources, I think we might be still funding the money to the Taliban. Now, that's multiple people still saying that we are. But President Trump in clip 5 says we don't want to fund terror anymore. He's also talking about rebuilding Gaza. Take a listen.
We've all agreed that supporting Gaza must be done to lift up the people themselves, but we don't want to fund anything having to do with the bloodshed, hatred, or terror, as has happened in the past. And for the same reason, we're also agreed that Gaza's reconstruction requires that it be demilitarized and that a new, honest civilian police force must be allowed to create a safe condition for the people in Gaza.
Makes sense. It makes sense. I don't want any part in the rebuilding section of all of this. Truthfully, it's done. It should be over with. We should be out. Not our problem, not our business. Move on. Let Hamas, their government that they elected, deal with all of that. I want to turn to Todd Blanche for a little bit because I think this is really important. Yesterday, I posted a clip online. Alex Jones sat down with Tucker Carlson. It's a great interview. I highly recommend you take a listen. He sat down with Tucker and they had a great, I think it was like a 2-hour discussion. But there's this portion in that interview that Alex did with Tucker that's really interesting. I want to make sure you paid attention to it. Because in clip 6, we're highlighting how the deputy AG, which is Todd Blanche, my sources have told me for quite some time now that he is the one holding up a lot of the great things that you at home would want done by this administration. They say it falls on his desk and it goes nowhere. So Alex came out yesterday on Tucker's show and accused Todd Blanche of being the main person behind shutting down the investigation into why they want to shut down InfoWars. As many of you know, we've talked about it and covered it on this program. Alex has covered it extensively on his show. There was a massive effort to shut down InfoWars, as many of you know, but there was an involvement from an FBI agent. And so Ed Martin, who is the president's pardon attorney, he is the one handling the weaponization committee over at the DOJ right now, the division specifically. Ed Martin sent over a letter to that FBI agent's lawyer. Obviously, we love that because there should be accountability. There was no reason to come after InfoWars, unless, of course, you wanted to censor free speech. So Alex addressed what he's been hearing behind the scenes regarding Todd Blanche's efforts to shut down Ed Martin's efforts to find justice. Take a listen.
And Todd Blanche is protecting the FBI and DOJ under orders from Obama, then Biden, to get me off the air. And we have all the documents where they funded illegally. We have all the proof. We sued them. We deposed them. I spent millions deposing them all, getting all their emails, top law firms. And then we, and the Justice Department gets the information. And Ed Martin goes after him and says, preserve your records. I want to talk to you. And then Todd Blanche comes in and says, I'll fire you, Ed Martin. Shut the son of a bitch down right now. Ed Martin needs to be the deputy attorney general. And he didn't say that. Okay, I have other DOJ sources that tell me what goes on. But this is the reality.
And could they do that? I mean, because like in the end, I don't think you should use government to make your friends rich or give them special favors. But if you can't deliver justice to people who are on your side, you know, you're not doing it right. And that's really dispiriting and a little weird to be honest.
Okay. So I know a lot of people online were like, there's no way this is true. They don't believe it. I could tell you that I've spoken to individuals for months now, and I've tried my best to be optimistic about all of this, who have said that Todd Blanche is the problem, that in fact he is the one working behind the scenes to stop things like you just saw Alex accuse him of. And it's a major, major issue. But those who are front and center are not going to tell you the truth right now because they don't want to create or be very open publicly with the friction behind the scenes. Now, the New York Times says that they allegedly spoke to 7 different people and that they know that Todd Blanche is an issue for this administration, that within internally the DOJ, that there is a massive issue with Todd Blanche. And in fact, that they even call him out for, I believe, his relationship with Cash Patel. In how, again, lots of friction behind the scenes. Now, this isn't an absurd report. The New York Times says Blanche allegedly clashed with other members of the Trump administration in terms of agenda, including Attorney General Pam Bondi. Okay, so here's my thing. The New York Times isn't, and we don't like to give New York Times credit, but they're not wrong. They're not wrong. I'm talking to the same people who are telling me the same exact thing. These are people who work around them. And it's both the FBI and DOJ telling me this. Now, publicly, they're not going to say, yeah, we got a problem with him. They're going to want to make sure everything's A-OK. And it's interesting because, folks, it's called you're playing a game here. It's a political game from a lot of them. So publicly, they are coming out there and they're saying things. Yeah, everything's okay. We don't have any problems. Behind the scenes, everyone involved in this know that there's a lot of problems here. And there's reasons why you tell media outlets. Again, the New York Times, they're not wrong. They're not wrong. Because I'm hearing these same exact things from people who are around these individuals. But publicly, they're not going to tell you these things. Todd Blanche taking an axe yesterday in a tweet to call it out by saying the failing New York Times says we don't like each other. He tagged Cash Patel in this, obviously. And then he goes on to claim that the two of them, I guess, are just hanging out. Guess we'll have to stop hanging out after work. Those dummies. Yeah, I mean, this is not what I'm hearing. This isn't what I'm hearing. And the New York Times is standing by their report, too. So that's worth noting. The New York Times put out a tweet as well as a follow-up to this. Times article is based on conversations with seven current and former administration officials with direct knowledge of working relationships inside the Department of Justice. I'm telling you that the New York Times is not wrong. Now, again, you're going to say, oh, anonymous sources. No one's going to put their name on that. You want to keep your job? You shut up. You don't put your name on that. I know that upsets people a lot. Oh, we don't like anonymous sources. I get it. But when people tell me something, they're telling me because they trust me, because I'm a credible journalist, and I won't throw them under the bus. But sometimes they say, yeah, I'll tell you this. It's because they want to send their message out to the public without ruining their lives, ruining their career. That's just the reality. Do you not want us to report on any of this? Do you want me just to sit on the sidelines and let whatever happens in the administration happen? Anonymous sources have made, and you guys could call into the show later and talk about it if you'd like to, but the anonymous sources are used heavily, and I get it. It's not the best, especially with the corporate media. But what I'm telling you, that I'm speaking directly to people at the FBI and DOJ, and they're telling the same things that they're telling the New York Times. It should have a little bit of value. And again, they're not going to tell you this. They don't want to look like there's friction behind the scenes. And I highly respect Dan Bongino, but Dan Bongino this morning also debunking the New York Times. I have direct knowledge and can state with certainty that your story is trash. Oh, Dan, it's not trash. People on your team know it's not trash. Folks, there's a massive effort to sit here and pretend like what's going on isn't going on. Also, let me remind you, President Trump just a few days ago, when Comey was indicted, thanked Cash Patel and also thanked the U.S. attorney in Virginia. Did not thank, though, Pam Bondi. Did not thank Todd Blanche. You know why? Because they didn't help land the indictment. In fact, they didn't give any resources over to help land that indictment. So President Trump's telling you there's a problem over at the DOJ. You don't need anonymous sources to also confirm that for you. Just pay attention to his messaging on Truth Social. All right, folks, we got Ezra joining us in just a few moments outside the courtroom where Tommy Robinson just walked out for his terrorism case. Don't go anywhere. There's more to discuss in just a few moments.
Speaking of mysteries, how did you wind up knowing Alex Jones?
It was his early videos. It was his early documentaries. It was the stuff he produced himself, like on VHS. I watched that documentary. I'd been, you know, a fan of Alex's early stuff. And that's, you know, just him.
So you knew who he was on 9/11?
Yeah.
You were on a radio show and you talked about 9/11, and you have, is it a theory or you just don't believe the government account of what happened on 9/11?
I just had questions.
Yeah.
I had a lot of questions. And the forum I chose to voice those questions in was the Alex Jones radio show. Mm-hmm. And just because he's a guy that I've been a fan of and followed for a lot of years.
He's my friend. I would mean no disrespect. I love him. He's coming
sure.
here in a month. But I'd never heard of Alex Jones on 9/11. It's interesting that you have long felt like you want to look at other sources of information.
Of course. Yeah. I've always done my own research, always. I've got to believe that the Pentagon is the most protected and documented, video-protected, surveilled building in the history of the known universe, right?
Turns out not.
Well, I'm saying...
I think we just have one two videos help. From the parking kiosk.
Yeah.
And then that is weird, isn't it?
Yeah. And then Building 7, it's just you can't. You can't watch that and say that is the result of a fire that burned for 5 hours on two floors. You can't sell that to me. And you know, that for years that was always met with, that is disrespecting the victims.
They are hurting the victims' families, the survivors, because they continue to raise this preposterous notion that the United States government would be so hideously manipulative that we would kill almost 3,000 of our own citizens as a pretext to going to war in Afghanistan.
How is that disrespecting the fallen heroes? How? If you're just looking for the truth behind what is clearly not what how it was explained.
It was like, as if they had detonated.
They were planning to take down a building. Boom, 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 boom. So that's how I met Alex. I said, hi, Alex. I'm a fan for years. I said, we have to talk. 0 hour is upon us. And he called in 10 minutes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then flew out to see you.
Yeah. And then we thought, okay, let's build a secret weapon. Let's do something that like is unique. So we got together and we wrote this piece called 20 Minutes with the President.
20 Minutes with the President.
We drilled down into the 20 things that were really bulletproof. Really bulletproof. But Alex said they're just going to paint you as crazy.
Well, of course.
And I said, really? That's like, they can't get more creative than that? He says, no, they're just going to call you crazy. And smash cut to like a week later, and it was Bill O'Reilly, and it was Geraldo, and they just dismissed me in one sentence. Well, Charlie Sheen's obviously crazy.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, someone can find that clip, I'm sure.
Charlie Sheen continues to say the U.S. government knew about 9/11 before it happened.
It's one of these things like Area 51 with the aliens in New Mexico. No matter how you define it, they
Sheen
still believe.
Is crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I think
he's crazy.
I think that he has a trick gene or a screw loose.
Personally, I wanted to create a public document specifically rooted in fact. If anybody dares question that, I would encourage those people to scrutinize it, to research it. The truth is unchanging, Alex, as we both know.
And I was always amazed to see that you always had hard data to back up your claims.
In the InfoWar.
In the InfoWar.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us, of course. We're going to take things over across the pond because, man, oh, man, is the UK a mess right now? Obviously, we cover all of the free speech violations that go on consistently with those in the UK, the officials in the UK. But if you stand up for your country and you're not going to allow it to be invaded by foreigners, well, they will put you on trial for terrorism. Tommy Robinson, obviously a great friend of mine personally and a great friend of the network, is really on the receiving end of a lot of the harassment when it comes to the British police going after him. They don't like him and they don't like what he stands for. They don't like the fact that he's able to go out there and get thousands and thousands of Brits to come out and support his efforts to make sure that they are preserving their country, that they are keeping their country safe, and they're speaking out openly and freely. So unfortunately, Tommy just wrapped up his terrorism trial. That sounds crazy to even think that he'd be on trial for something like that, but they have been trying aggressively hard to label Tommy Robinson as a terrorist, and it's been heartbreaking to sit back and watch. Tommy is someone who is obviously trying to save his country, like so many of us here in the United States are. And I always tell you, we pay attention to what goes on in the UK because that's what's going to happen next to the United States if we do not push back. So like I said, he just wrapped up his trial. Now, we don't have a verdict as of yet, but it's not a jury trial. And so Tommy was able to just walk right on out. And according to his ex, he's on his way right now to Israel next. But this man is fighting up against a lot, and a lot happened in court today. So I want to bring one of the great reporters who was in the courtroom through all of this, Ezra Levant, joining us right now. He's one of the great journalists over at Rebel News. And we're very excited and honored to have him on the program today. Ezra, it was a very busy day at the courthouse. I know even yesterday was very busy for you, so we're excited that you're joining us. I wanted you to break down the charges that Tommy is facing right now, because it sounds crazy that they're accusing him of being a terrorist.
Yeah, it is crazy. First of all, thank you for having me on the show. And second of all, I apologize for the bad connection. As you can see, I'm in a cab headed to the airport because I've got to get back to Canada. But I have spent the last 2 days watching a crazy trial. Let me tell you why it's crazy. As you mentioned, Tommy has been charged under the Terrorism Act, which sounds so scary. I mean, who would want to be associated with someone like that? Even if he's acquitted, where there's smoke, there's fire, right? No, here's what happened. There's this very strict law in the UK. It's like the Patriot Act, and it gives the British police the power to arrest and detain anyone coming or going from the country without a search warrant, without an arrest warrant. And you have to answer questions for up to 6 hours. You do not have the right to remain silent. Finally, police have the power to compel you to give them your cell phone password, your PIN. So they stopped Tommy and they grilled him, but they didn't. One of the first things they said was, we know you're not a terrorist, but we've got all these questions about you, about your journalism, about your political organizing, about the rallies you keep holding. Like, it's crazy. They use this. Like, this law is designed for a ticking time bomb situation. There's a terrorist bomb that's about to go off and you've got a terrorist mastermind. And so they're going to grill you and you don't have the right to stay silent. But they use that ticking time bomb law to basically pummel Tommy with questions about his politics, his journalism, not about terrorism. They never even accused him of terrorism. He's not a terrorist, but they use this mass against him. When they said, all right, now give us your cell phone, he said, no, I'm not going to. I have private and confidential information on there, especially about rape victims. Well, that's when they charged him, because if you don't answer their questions, if you don't give them your cell phone password, that is an offense under the Terrorism Act. So he's not a terrorist. They don't allege that he is. They abused the law to grill him and detain him. But because he wouldn't give up his private confidential sources in his phone, that's a charge under the Terrorism Act. So basically, for the last 2 days, we've heard from the different police that were grilling him. And we've heard how sloppy they were. We've heard that they didn't ask him anything about terrorism, that they had no information that he's terrorist, and that they conveniently forgot all the questions they asked him, that they revised their witness statement 3 times, weeks and months later. Like, it's so sloppy. It's such an awful government case. I actually felt bad for some of the cops who were on the witness stand. It was so atrocious. But here's the thing. He's Tommy Robinson. He's an enemy of the state. So even if no other person would be charged, no other person would be convicted, there's always a risk that the courts will look at Tommy as someone they have to get, because the government is constantly trying to get Tommy on this or on that. So I'm very confident about the facts and the law. I'm less confident about the independence of the courts. Now, we got to hope, because Tommy has won in this court before, but that's the report. And, you mentioned that, or we were talking just before you turned the camera on. Another battle, another front line in the battle is citizen journalists versus regime journalists. I can talk about that a little bit later, because that was a battle there too. Because as you know, Tommy Robinson is a citizen journalist. And so that's one of the things that the government tries to do, is say you're not a real journalist, you're not a credentialed journalist, you shouldn't have the rights of a journalist. In fact, that's one of the things they were saying about his cell phone. But anyways, Tommy has a huge support base in the UK. And you may recall that just last month, hundreds of thousands, some people say millions, gathered in a big march for freedom. So he is more popular for sure than the British Prime Minister. And by my estimate, they spent $25 million trying to get Tommy in one way or another through investigations and prosecutions. And they have jailed him 5 times. But he just keeps coming out stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen it several times. And they even tried to stop his film from coming out silenced. I remember when I was talking to Tommy while he was being held in prison, they tried their very best to even get him to take, and they did have to do it eventually, but to take down his tweet, which garnished millions and millions of views when Elon Musk was sharing it. The goal here is to break Tommy so that Tommy stops doing what he does, which is exposing corruption and helping sexual assault victims have their voices heard. And they don't like that. What are the penalties he's facing currently with these accusations?
Well, if he's convicted under the Terrorism Act, I'd have to check to be sure, but I think it's could be a 3-month sentence for not giving up his cell phone PIN code. By the way, I think that police cracked his phone even without his PIN code, so it's, I feel like it's a moot point. But again, it was sort of let me say this. Here's a little detail that your viewers might care about. Mm-hmm. Tommy's legal bills today were paid by Elon Musk. In the past, we've had to crowdfund his legals, but today Elon Musk picked them up because Elon Musk is quite concerned about freedom of speech in the UK, and he sees Tommy as a champion of that and other issues. So Tommy had an excellent barrister on his side, and watching him just make mincemeat out of the police witnesses was actually a beautiful thing to behold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, this is, they try and get him in so many different ways on so many different kinds of trumped up charges. Sometimes they miss, sometimes they hit, but they're relentless about it. I am afraid that Tommy might not even be able to get a fair trial in the UK anymore. And he loves the UK very much. But I wonder if he might be the first political prisoner to go from the UK to the US to seek refugee status. I mean, I'm just brainstorming here, because if all they're going to do is continue to hound him and charge him and trump things up and burn him out and take up his time and energy and harass him and compel him to spend so much time in court and the stress of it. I, you know, Vance and Donald Trump are very wise to raise freedom of speech for British Prime Minister every time I see him. Can I give you a fact, Brianna? I know you know this already, but maybe some of you just haven't heard it. Mm-hmm. Did you know that in the United Kingdom on any given day, 30 people are arrested on any given day for saying mean things on social media? Mm-hmm. 30 a day. I have to tell you, that's more than happens in Vladimir Putin's Russia. So how can the cradle of free speech be such a censorious place? Something's broken in the UK, and Tommy is really on the front line of that battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's really upsetting. We're watching footage right now. We've got this up of British police going into people's homes, breaking into their homes over this. We've seen the outrageous video footages of just people in their homes and just saying, you know, I posted something on Facebook. Like, what's the problem here? And then they're being carted off. I remember when, sadly, I believe it was 3 or 4 little girls who were at the Taylor Swift dance party when protests broke out after they were fatally stabbed to death, people who were just tweeting and posting things online. One man, I believe, was sentenced to 3 years in prison at the same time of all that was happening. So there's a massive, massive attack on free speech. I know President Trump has called it out directly to Starmer's face, and Starmer completely tries to distance himself from it and says that they're not going after people for free speech, but we know they are. We know that they are, and they're violating people's constitutional rights. You know, when I spoke to Tommy when he was in prison, they held him in solitary confinement. And the abuse that you have to endure when you're being held in a cell by yourself for 24 hours, you know, from 23 to 24 hours a day, there's a long-term effect that has on you. And then we saw that video of Tommy just simply walking through, I believe it was a train station, and someone came up to him and was getting aggressive with him, and Tommy was forced to defend himself. And then they tried to just keep that footage suppressed of the guy coming after Tommy first and only let the one circulate of Tommy being the one who, the aftermath of Tommy's actions. Like you said, there is a massive effort to, and we lost him for a second, signal issues, but we'll get him back in a moment. But there's a massive effort to discredit Tommy Robinson, to tarnish his reputation. Like you heard Ezra just say, as he reconnects back with us, Ezra is saying that he doesn't even think Tommy Robinson can get a fair trial in the UK. Now, the trial he just walked out of today isn't one where you're being met with a jury. You're being met by judges who are obviously going to be partisan and not favorable towards you. If you're Tommy Robinson, you have a reputation that is unwarranted. unwarranted. And so, yeah, do I think that he's probably going to have an issue when it comes to finding a jury that could actually see through, or finding a judge who could see through all of this and realize that he's under attack? I do truly believe that. I do. And Ezra is not, he's not overselling you on this. The goal here is to keep Tommy Robinson locked away. While I was talking to Tommy in prison, I actually found out that Elon Musk, and we broke that story for you. I posted about it on X. Elon Musk not only was paying for the trial that you see today unraveling, but he was also trying to help Tommy, who was also fighting and challenging legally, to get out of solitary confinement because of the abuse that he was enduring. We have Ezra. He's back right now. Ezra, I was just reminding our audience, you know, while I was speaking to Tommy while he was in prison in solitary confinement, he was enduring a lot of abuse, and Elon Musk actually helped him fight off that abuse, and the challenge to get out of solitary confinement as well was paying his legal fees, is what he told me. This is a major, major issue. The government is, and like you said, he's not going to have a fair trial. He has no chance because they've slanted him so badly with all of this, slandered his name so badly with all of this coverage. I do fear for Tommy, and I did advise him too that he probably should look into leaving the UK. But do you think that the terrorism trial itself is a way to make sure that no other country accepts him as an asylum seeker?
You know, that's a very keen observation. I mean, who would want someone who was charged under a terrorism law? It really does smear someone's
reputation. I think we're getting
out around the world to America and other. You know what? I'm so sorry. My phone reception is weak here. I apologize for that.
No, it's okay. I'm just
in a cab, but you're right. They're trying to blacken Tommy's name, even in diplomatic circles. So, but I think you and other journalists like you are spreading the true word about Tommy. So instead of being a bad boy or a vigilante or whatever bad things people say about him, I think in America, he's starting to be regarded as a martyr. So the truth is getting out there, and the way Prime Minister Keir Starmer bullies Tommy is a bad look on Starmer himself. Anyways, I apologize. My connection is a little bit weak. It's just, I had to just jump in the cab to go to the airport. Let me say this. America is a very important part of this. You mentioned how Elon Musk is helping. That is a huge part of this. An American pressure on Keir Starmer may actually be the thing that fixes the problem. We also alluded to possible asylum claims by Tommy in America, although I don't think he wants to leave the field of battle. Mm-hmm. Tommy really believes in fighting and saving the UK. But what I would say to your American viewers, who I know are the majority of your viewers, keep talking about this man, not just because you're helping to save the UK, but as you said at the very top of this show, the UK is like a dystopian time machine. It's a vision into the future of what happens to Canada and America 5 years from now if we don't fix our problems. So strengthen your First Amendment. Mm-hmm. Strengthen your commitment to free speech. Crack down on mass immigration now if you want to avoid the cautionary tale of the UK. So keep following the case of Tommy Robinson. I promise I'll keep covering it. And thank you, Brianna, for covering it too.
Yeah, well, Ezra, we appreciate you being front and center for all of these key moments in Tommy's fight, his battle, because I think this is really, really important that we continue on and we continue to fight this fight. I wanted to ask you before you head on out, because I know you're heading to the airport, in regards to the BBC, you know, BBC tried their very best to silence you because they don't like the fact that your coverage isn't slanted, that in fact you're covering all of the awful things that are happening in the courtroom to Tommy. Normally they are the one narrative, and they very rarely get kind of a rebuttal live in time. And so that's what you provided them with. But Tommy confronted the BBC reporter yesterday. Let's take a listen.
Catch the camera, you're a member of the press. You was in there today.
Sorry, Wendell.
You're a member of the press. You was in there today. Can I ask you, what did you think of the fact? What did you think of the fact?
It's contempt. Court case.
No, it's not. There's no jury. That's only for juries. There's not contempt. That's a lie. That's a lie. No, you're a member of the press.
I can't discuss.
Well, I've looked at your reporting today. I've looked at your reporting today. Yeah. Why don't you tell the truth? Why don't you tell the truth about what happened in court today? Why don't you tell the truth? Why don't you tell the truth? You see, that's the media.
They're running away from the mainstream media.
He is sat in that court case. We'll see what verdict we get tomorrow. Not one of them has reported any of the unlawful stuff the police have done.
And then, you know what?
He went to the judge. He went to the judge to make sure Ezra would stop reporting. He did. He went as a member of the press to point out that he's sitting in the public gallery and he's reporting on this case. To prevent him reporting so that the only narrative you get is from them.
Ezra, I love watching Tommy call it out. I love seeing him defend you to make sure that he can't silence you and your coverage. How did this all go down? Because he flagged the judge to your coverage. It sounds so absurd.
Yeah, I like to live tweet from the court because I'm a former lawyer and I'm a pretty fast typist. So I like almost like stenography. I type very quickly and all the other reporters are watching my tweets because they're, you know, they just are. And the BBC reporter hates my point of view. The BBC hates Tommy and I'm supportive of Tommy. So the BBC reporter tattled on me and told the judge that I was tweeting mean things about the police and the prosecutors. I guess I was hurting their feelings and that I'm not an accredited journalist in the UK. So the judge asked me about that and I said, oh, I am accredited in Canada. But the judge said, you cannot live tweet anymore. But this morning I presented the judge with my Canadian credentials showing that I'm a journalist. I mean, listen, a journalist is an activity. It's not a profession like being a lawyer or a doctor. Anyone can be a journalist. That's half the fun of it. Anyways, I convinced the judge that I am accredited, even though I don't think I should have to prove that. Anyone should be able to. So I was allowed to live tweet again, and I was sitting with the regime journalists. But then someone must have complained again because they had security kick me out. I said, no, the judge just allowed me to sit with the other journalists. But the clerks of the court said no. You have to sit in another gallery behind this thick glass window, like I was in a prison meeting room or something, a prison visiting room. I don't know. It was, anyway, I didn't want to fight with the judge because my goal there was not to fight with the judge. My goal was to do journalism. But it was crazy that I had to fight against the BBC, a rival. The BBC is worse than PBS. And they thought it was appropriate to try and nuke their competitor. We're their competitor in terms of clicks. We're also a rival to them in terms of ideology. That's what really bothered them is, I mean, yesterday morning, people viewing my tweets. So obviously a lot of people want the other side of the story. The BBC tried to shut that down. And it's sort of crazy being a journalist trying to convince a judge that you're a journalist. I mean, why not just let anyone be a journalist? It's such a protection racket. It's like a guild. They're trying to create barriers to entry for citizen journalists. They don't think they'll succeed, but in the meantime, they're going to have a lot of embarrassing moments like they had yesterday and today.
Yeah, no, they are. They are. And we actually just got footage because Tommy just posted this. It looks like, it's the Daily Mail posting videos. The prosecutors apparently released this of Tommy arriving. Looks like yesterday in court. But, you know, they weren't very happy that he had a Bentley that drove him in. This really pissed people off, it looks like, even though he says it was a friend's car, wasn't his car. But they obviously release footage like this because they want to go after you. They want to discredit.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy has to live in Spain because it's too unsafe for him to walk the streets of the UK. And he was driving a friend's car for him. And it's a nice car. It's a Bentley. I've never been in one, but I hear they're fancy. That's got nothing to do with whether or not you're a terrorist, but, and they also searched his car and found some cash on him. That's not a terrorist thing, but they were using those as reasons that they arrested him as a terrorist. They said he was driving by himself in a friend's car. He had cash on him and he was going to Spain. Therefore, he's a terrorist. That's literally all the indicia they had. And yet they didn't ask him any questions about actual terrorism or anything like that. It was just what the Brits call a stitch up. It's because he was Tommy Robinson right-wing guy, enemy of the state. So they use this abusive sort of UK version of the Patriot Act to arrest him and detain him and grill him. And now when he resisted giving them his cell phone password, they're prosecuting him. The whole thing is outrageous. The media, a lot of journalists would normally like Tom because think about it. He's a constant source of news. He's a colorful character. He's charismatic. A lot of working class people in particular love him. That should be something a journalist would really like. But they're told by their bosses, we have to officially hate Tommy. So they still write about Tommy every day, but it's all hate, 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 which is why I think I got 8 million views on my tweets yesterday morning, because I'm telling the other side of the story. Listen, you don't have to like Tommy. I think he's very likable. Yeah. But you know, the idea that we're going to silence, censor, and ban citizen journalists for being too friendly with Tommy, that's very un-British, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. And I've had the honor of knowing Tommy, and he is a very likable person. So, yeah, I would say that they're in the wrong in all of this. And I think the people all around the world see through this, and that's why he has risen to such fame, because people see what's going on to him. They don't like it, and they call it out. And we're very thankful for that. Ezra, you guys are doing incredible journalism over at Rebel News. I want to remind our audience to check it out. We appreciate you joining us here, of course. We appreciate you covering from inside the courtroom, because I can't rely on the mainstream media. So we strongly rely on you. Ezra, right. Thank you for joining us today. Have a safe flight. All right, folks, we're going to head on over right now to, well, let me remind you first, thealexjonesstore.com is where you're going to want to go over to right now, because in case you haven't done so already, you're missing out. There's a contest going on right this moment where you could win one of these sick rides with every purchase you make. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. There are incredible items on sale. I believe we still have hats on sale right now. So head on over. It's $19.97 hats. Go over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Take a look around when you make a purchase. You're helping us prepare for our next operation, because we don't know if the doors are going to be closed tomorrow, maybe next week. So we're planning ahead. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Also plan ahead and make sure you download the app. We just launched the alexjonesapp.com. That's where you go to right now to make sure that you stay in touch with us, because we're doing our very, very best to make sure that when they do close those front doors, we're connected. The fight for the information, the war for the information battle, it's not over. It's not over. We're just planning for our next operation, so make sure you download the app as well. Okay, folks, so we're getting ready to head off to the next hour. I want to be taking your calls, so give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I'm going to make a jingle very, very soon. Give me a call with something that we spoke about, something that we haven't spoken about yet that you want me to talk about. We've got a lot more stories that we're diving into, but, you know, why not let you guys control the spin for today? Give me a ring, 877-789-2539. We have a lot more to be discussing. I know this is your favorite time of the show, so we look forward to taking your calls. Don't go anywhere. There's more American Journal to uncover in just a few moments.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up...
Can you, like... shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are $19.97 in honor of myself and the crew launching Infowars.com in 1997, 28 years of the Infowar. So that is the Veterans of the Infowar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition Infowars, Veterans of the Infowars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if Infowars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term Infowar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs Times of the World. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.
We've just kind of reached the surface on the news stories we want to make sure that you're paying attention to. So welcome back. All right, like I said, we're going to be taking your calls in about, I'd say, about 25, 30 minutes. So if you'd like to join the show, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls. We're going to keep it the topical kind of version of all this, the latest news stories. So if you want to give me a ring, maybe there's a story that we missed that's out today that you want to make sure we highlight for our audience, give me a call. Again, folks, we'll be taking those calls in about, I'd say, about 30 minutes. So if you want to jump on the call, make sure we get your call. Now it's time to give us a ring. All right. So I'm going to be also talking about something that I think is egregious, the fact that we're sending police officers to prison when they're only charged, well, when they're charged with federal crimes. We're going to be diving in deep. English. It's very difficult for me this morning, into a story that I don't think people are really paying attention to, and you should be paying attention to it because it has a lot to do with a police officer who was just doing his job and had his fellow officers back, and now he's being thrown into prison for 33 months. And a lot of people have not been paying attention to this guy's story. Right now he's about to enter general population as well. His name is Brett Hankinson, and he is right now sitting in federal prison. The details behind it are going to get you really upset, and I'm going to be talking about that in just a few moments. I want to make sure everyone knows what's going on, though. You see, I don't want to make sure that we don't forget about these people and just move on. These are the people that we need to be pushing for. We need to help. We need to save. And so that's what we're going to do in just a few moments. I'm also going to be discussing Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly actually had a really, really good soundbite, and it has a lot to do with Fox and censorship and vaccines. We'll be talking about that too as well. I'll also be joined by Steve Dace in a few moments. That's about an hour, I'd say. Steve's got a lot to sound off on in regards to immigration. I know these CDL licenses, now the Trump administration blocking non-U.S. citizens from getting access to that, but it's causing quite the stir. Local news is not happy that we're not giving these CDL licenses to non-U.S. citizens, people who don't speak English, don't even care to learn the language. I'll be talking to Steve about that. Also, Nick Sorter is going to be joining me as well. Now, as many of you know, Nick's been very busy taking on Antifa in Portland, getting arrested and then released, then threatening to sue the Portland PD, then making his way to the White House to meet with President Trump and members of his administration. But apparently now the FBI is looking into Antifa. We're going to get the scoop from Nick because obviously the FBI is turning to Nick because Nick was assaulted by Antifa and they want to know. They want to know what's going on there. And so we're excited to have Nick on the program in just a few moments as well. So there's a lot going on over here. A lot going on all around the world. Like I mentioned also earlier today, you know, Charlie Kirk, today would have been his 32nd birthday, which is absolutely devastating. Today's the National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk. Over at the White House at 4 p.m. Eastern time today, he's going to be receiving the Medal of Freedom. His wife will be present, obviously, accepting that for him. It's devastating. To think he was only 32, he would have been only been 32, is heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. We look forward to seeing that ceremony at the White House, though. I'm sure President Trump will do his very best to remember Charlie Kirk. His wife, I don't know how his wife pulls it together. I really don't. She's done an incredible job at doing just that, pulling it together for her kids, pulling it together to make sure that Charlie's message doesn't fall flat, that his goals to save this country carry on, that his voice echoes all across this country. She has done an incredible job. So we look forward to continuing to cover that. Of course, We're also going to be talking a little bit about the Pentagon, because the Pentagon, the media is saying that they're changing their rules. Now, I've spoken to Department of War officials, and they're like, it's not what they're saying, Brianna, especially because, and keep in mind, I don't know what the I don't understand what the spin is with the media angle, because people like Pete Hegseth worked in the media. So I'll break down the very latest for you in that angle as well. So don't go anywhere. There's more American Journal just up ahead.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you are all joining us today on this beautiful Tuesday morning. I just got handed some breaking news, and it's really upsetting. It's really upsetting. It looks like the Supreme Court has just declined to hear Alex Jones's case. Now, as many of you guys know, Alex Jones was relying on the Supreme Court to hear his case regarding the $1.4 billion judgment that he was handed down in the corrupt courts for the Sandy Hook shooting. Now, of course, folks, that's the one in Connecticut that we've been talking about. This one breaks my heart. As many of you guys know, he sat down with Tucker Carlson yesterday and detailed all of the corruption that happened behind the scenes on this. And it is absolutely devastating to hear this news, the Supreme Court declining to hear his case. This isn't about Alex, and I want to keep pushing this forward. Everyone in media should be fearful. Everyone in media should be fearful. They did their very best to silence Alex Jones, to take down InfoWars. And we know, we can confirm that there was an FBI involvement in all of this. So they did their very best to shut down his efforts to keep InfoWars up, because they didn't like something that he said. They used that as the excuse to push forward and bankrupt him. You know, this really ticks me off. We were relying on the Supreme Court, and I could speak personally as a member of the media, we were relying on the Supreme Court to step in on this case, not because of InfoWars as a whole, but because this is a very, very dangerous precedent to set. To sit here and say that a journalist or anyone in the media could be sued for $1.4 billion because they don't like you. What the hell happened to free speech in this country? You don't have to agree with what Alex said. Again, I'll keep repeating it. You don't have to agree with what he said. This is dangerous, though, because it doesn't stop at Alex Jones. They will make a blueprint from all of this and come after everyone who questions any narrative. You could ask questions in this country. You could ask many questions in this country. They had no right going after him. They had no right trying to steal $1.4 billion. That's not even reasonable, of course, because that wasn't the goal, to get any type of financial gain in this. Obviously, in my opinion, the goal here was to silence Alex. And it doesn't stop with Alex. It doesn't stop with Alex. This is piling up on us, folks. You know, we played the clip earlier in the show, and we could play it again, of Alex going on Tucker Carlson. We'll play it again for those who missed it. Because Alex was detailing what's going on behind the scenes. We covered when Ed Martin, the head of the weaponization division over at the DOJ, sent out a letter to an FBI agent, to his attorney specifically, asking questions as to what their involvement was in the Sandy Hook lawsuit. Now, Alex made allegations. We're going to play that for you right now. And in those allegations, he called out Todd Blanche for shutting that down. Folks, the cover-up is insane here. Take a listen to Alex detailing it for Tucker Carlson.
And Todd Blanche is protecting the FBI and DOJ under orders from Obama, then Biden, to get me off the air. And we have all the documents where they funded it illegally. We have all the proof. We sued them. We deposed them. I spent millions deposing them all, getting all their emails, top law firms. And then the Justice Department gets the information, and Ed Martin goes after him and says, preserve your records. I want to talk to you. And then Todd Blanche comes in and says, I'll fire you, Ed Martin. Shut the son of a bitch down right now. Ed Martin needs to be the deputy attorney general. And he didn't say that. Okay, I have other DOJ sources that tell me what goes on, but this is the reality.
And could they do that? I mean, because like in the end, I don't think you should use government to make your friends rich or give them special favors. But if you can't deliver justice to people who are on your side, you know, you're not doing it right. And that's really dispiriting and a little weird to be honest. Well,
now, again, folks, this is unacceptable. This is unacceptable. And anyone who's sitting at home right now thinking that this is just going to be it, that it stops at Alex, you're lying to yourself. It doesn't stop at Alex. This doesn't stop at Alex. They'll keep going. The man spent over 3 decades building an empire, and they were able to do this to him. What a disappointment from our Supreme Court. An absolute disgrace. If you didn't see the free speech issue here, the corrupt courts, it's just, this Supreme Court has been a massive disappointment. Massive disappointment. I could speak personally on that matter. This is bad. This is bad. Again, you don't have to like what Alex said, but they're coming after all of us, and they're going down the list. Massive disappointment hearing that the Supreme Court will not listen to Alex's challenge regarding that $1.4 billion defamation judgment. An absolute disgrace. But it doesn't stop there. This administration has done a lot of great things. And then there's other things that, you know, we got to call Matt on. Obviously, the DOJ not doing its job to help out, not just Alex, but to make sure that those who were corrupt and helping out to go after him are held accountable. It's a massive issue. But it's also a massive issue when we're sending police officers to prison. That's exactly what happened to one former Louisville police officer, Fred Hankinson. He's right now sitting in federal prison. Okay, and let me detail the story for you. So Brett was obviously one of the officers on the Breonna Taylor raid. Now, again, local officials wanted her property raided. There was a lot of pressure happening behind the scenes. Now they pretend after all that happened in 2020 that they were shocked by it. But they were the ones pushing for this. So, obviously, as a member of the law enforcement agency, he was there present when the raid took place. Now, again, there was a no-knock warrant, but that wasn't what was used. They get that just for safety reasons in case they need it. But they did knock. They did announce. We've seen the documents. Witnesses did hear police announcing their arrival at her front door. Now, according to the reports, according to court documents, her boyfriend opened fire first, shooting the guy we had on this show before, Sergeant John Mattingly, in the leg. And then after seeing Mattingly, obviously, and hearing the gunshots, Brett Hankinson fired back. He returned fire. Now, he didn't shoot and kill Taylor. But obviously, in a very chaotic situation like that, you have to react quickly. One of your guys just got shot. And so Hankinson did open fire into the apartment. While the Biden regime wanted to obviously continue to drag everyone involved in this case because there was a lot of political benefits to this. And so they filed civil rights violation charges against him. Now he was found guilty. And even though with the new administration, the Trump DOJ asked the judge for no prison time, he's lost his job, that's enough. The judge said, no, we have to sentence him to prison time. And Hankinson was forced to turn himself in last week to serve out a 33-month prison sentence. Now, what do you think is going to be of a former police officer on a very high-profile case heading into prison? What do you think is going to happen to him? Well, according to people I've spoken to, they're preparing to release him into general population. General population. And so one would think, because obviously the DOJ understood the severity of the issue under President Trump, that they would have stepped in and pardoned him. But they have not pardoned Hankinson. And he's been in federal custody now for several days. Now, I know John Mattingly, the officer who was shot that day by Taylor's boyfriend, didn't meet with pardon attorney Ed Martin. And again, Ed Martin, I don't doubt him on any of this. I know that once they had their meeting, he is a fighter. He would have advocated for Hankinson not to go to prison. Now, again, I haven't spoken to him on this issue, but I could promise you after knowing him that he would have never allowed this to happen. But for some reason, someone at the DOJ has not yet signed those papers to help this man out. He's very likely going to be killed in prison, attacked at least, because he's a member of law enforcement. He was. And they lied so badly about the Taylor case that, yes, he is a target. So right now he is sitting in federal prison, going to be pushed into general population from what I'm told. By the way, the DOJ runs the Bureau of Prisons, in case you're wondering. And so instead of protecting this man, we have allowed him to be put in danger. Because the Biden DOJ just wanted to win. And so what they drown these officers in criminal charges. But then we say, oh, we love police. We love them. And then we ask for them to vote for them, these elected officials, of course, down the line. You know, President Trump received a lot of endorsements by several police agencies, unions. They backed him. And I know the president understands that. It's just who's holding up his pardon. He shouldn't have had to turn himself in. The judge waited to the very last minute to get inside of his head, to mess with him. And even though he's going to appeal, they don't care. Send him away. Maybe he won't make it to appeal. We know what they do to law enforcement officers in prison, especially those who have been very high profile. So why would we let him go to prison? It's something everyone on the right could get behind. And then we sit here and we wonder why law enforcement officers, especially locally, are so crappy at their jobs. Well, it's because we're not attracting the best of the best anymore, because they see what's happening. They see how you sacrifice this man that's been over 2 years of his life now, worried about someone probably going to attack him. He had his officers back that day. The local politicians sacrificed them. They wanted these raids because they wanted to just get rid of all of these homes and get these people out so that they could build multi-million dollar properties. I'm just so infuriated by this. He did nothing wrong. Taylor's boyfriend opened fire first. They announced their arrival at their front door. There were witnesses, neighbors who heard them announce their arrival. They had a no-knock warrant, but that no-knock warrant was never utilized. In fact, if you talk to members of law enforcement, they just get it, if they can, for a level of security. They kind of surveil the area to see if they need it. If they don't need it, they don't use it. They know it's going to put their officers at risk. So there's a lot of things that were wrong with this case from the very beginning, and it's really frustrating to see that we've allowed this officer to go to prison. I've tried my very best to hold people accountable, to help this man have a platform, because the mainstream media won't give him a platform, of course. And sadly, this administration is just going cold on this case. He does not belong in prison. He has lost his job. He has spent so much money, so much energy on this criminal trial. Enough is enough. He's paid the price for having one of his friends' backs. He should not be sitting right now in federal prison, but he is. He is. And that's not what we voted for. And it's not just him. You know, there were two individuals, and I talked about it last time I had Ed Martin on my podcast. This interview blew up because everyone was so enraged. There were two individuals who were charged on a federal level who are sitting right now in one of the worst prisons in this country because the accusations against them is that they plotted to kidnap Governor Whitmer. Even though the FBI had more people involved in that case who also piled these guys with drugs and alcohol. And the FBI was the one orchestrating the kidnapping of Governor Whitmer. They are right now sitting in federal custody yet again, and no one is going to save them. And I had Ed Martin on my show, and I asked him about it. Ed Martin said they were going to take a look at the case because he believed, too, that there was a lot of corruption in this. Now, that pissed off a lot of people. Made its way to Whitmer's office. She commented and said that she didn't want them to be pardoned. She alleged that she spoke with President Trump about it as well, and the president agreed not to pardon them. But when you go through all the lies that were told during their trial, what the FBI's role in all of this was, you realize that they were just trying to boost the domestic terrorism numbers, and they went after these men. Again, they would have never orchestrated the plot of kidnapping Governor Whitmer solely by themselves. It was the federal government that pushed them, that planned it, and then gave them a bunch of drugs and alcohol. Even one of the agents being fired by the agency after allegations that he was engaging in like a swingers thing with his wife. And then somehow there was a domestic dispute after that. I mean, the people involved in that case were very, very corrupt. But again, we've sacrificed these men to sit it out in federal prison, in one of the worst federal prisons that we have in this country, because we just don't care. Everyone's moved on. I haven't moved on. I'm not going to move on anytime soon. And that's the reality of all of this. You shouldn't move on either. You know, we owe these people a lot. We owe these people a lot. We don't sit here and abandon our own. The Biden regime went after these people. We're the ones who are supposed to settle the score. We're the ones who are supposed to get for accountability for all of them. And so it's just infuriating to sit back and watch continuously play out. The lack of frustration from those in the media is really laughable. The fact that we've just allowed these people to be sacrificed is disgraceful. It's not what we voted for. I'm going to turn to a clip and kind of change it up a little bit. We're going to play clip 7 for you because Megyn Kelly is talking about the vaccines, and not just the COVID vaccine, but the other vaccines, the childhood vaccines, and how Fox News wouldn't allow her to talk about it or challenge it on air. Take a listen.
Fox, if you said anything about the vaccine schedule mm-hmm. for kids, you get a call immediately to stop talking about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pfizer was one of our big advertisers. Right. I was young and didn't really put it together.
Right.
But it is crazy. Like, there are certain things you're not allowed to talk about. Right.
You can't talk about it.
And he was like, a third rail? Let me love it. Right. Let me hold it. And you're over there like,
Bobby.
Well.
Everybody, you're like making people go crazy.
Yeah, I can confirm that is correct. You know, Fox, obviously, is the reason why I'm no longer there, was forcing their employees to comply with an illegal New York City vaccine mandate. And so you either complied and you got the jab, or you had to beg your employer for a religious or a medical exemption. You hoped and you prayed that they did just that. If they didn't, well, you were put on paid leave. Now, I told them I wasn't going to comply with any of it. I knew it was illegal. In fact, the Supreme Court weighed in when Joe Biden tried to inflict a private sector vaccine mandate on the rest of the country. The Supreme Court shutting that down, saying he doesn't have the authority to do that. So, of course, the New York City mayor wouldn't have the authority to do that, but Fox News didn't want to look at it. They didn't want to challenge it. In fact, they asked me not to hire lawyers to challenge the New York City mayor. So I was out at Fox. And you're probably wondering, like, why the heck did that even happen in the first place? How does that happen in the first place? Well, a lot of money, not only from the pharmaceutical companies, was being poured in. But take a look at this FOIA request. Because the Blaze did this FOIA request, and I tell everyone, you got to pay attention. In this FOIA request, Fox News is being outed for taking money from HHS. This was happening during the censorship campaign. We've got that article for you here. This is the exclusive news that was broke, the news broke by the Blaze. The Blaze submitted a FOIA request and wanted to know specifically what media outlets took what. And as you see here on your screen, Fox was one of the many. In fact, most of the mainstream outlets, except InfoWars, because we're not mainstream, but they didn't take the money. Took the money. We don't know how much because they won't disclose that information. We're still fighting for that. But I talk about it all the time. We know that there was hundreds of millions of dollars that was allocated towards promoting these vaccines, but they weren't really running direct ads. It was just, don't criticize the vaccines. Don't say anything mean. Don't have people on air who are going to criticize them. I was there when I saw the censorship. I knew I was out soon. I was looking for another job when all this was going down. And then I just jumped ship without a job. because it was just so unbearable. So yeah. Yeah, a lot of people were lied to. A lot of people were lied to. Folks, I want to remind you, in just a few moments, we'll be taking your calls. Give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We want to listen to you guys, of course, kind of keep it relevant to the news topics. That's what we're looking to do. Was there a news story that happened today that I missed out on? Give me a ring. Also, if you want to sound off and join me about yelling about this stupid Supreme Court ruling that they will not be hearing Alex Jones's case, give us a call. I'm just so enraged by this. That sent me down a wormhole. I still can't believe this is what's going on in this country right now. I still can't believe. If you're an idiot and you think like, oh, Alex deserves it, you're a moron. It doesn't stop with Alex. It happens to everyone who questions a narrative. They don't like something you said, they're gunning for you. They're going to go after you and silence you and bankrupt you. How do you even fight the lawfare? You know, Alex has been able to fight this lawfare because of our audience. You guys are incredible. You guys have supported him throughout all of this. But not everyone's going to have access to such an incredible audience. It took him 3 decades to build this. 3 freaking decades. To run a business operation as great as InfoWars is, to build it from the ground up, to build all of these studios, the effort, I mean, just as an independent journalist, just building up my podcast was beyond stressful. I don't even know how I was able to build all of this, and they just take it from you? Not in this freaking country, one would think, but they did. He's, you know, obviously getting ready to start his next operation if this doesn't work out for him. But it's just so infuriating. This could happen to any of us. This will happen to more of us because we've allowed this to happen. $1.4 billion. And Alex tried working out a multi-million dollar settlement, even telling Tucker Carlson yesterday, you know, I was going to give them like 10 years worth of my profits and let them take my income for 10 years. But that wasn't good enough because you know why I didn't pull them off the air. And again, in my opinion, all of this is just so repulsive. So repulsive. The lawfare that took place. And everyone stood silent on this, which is so gross. You know, I was a producer at the time for a bunch of networks. They didn't want to cover any of this, really. Just cover the blank narrative. They didn't tell you about the details. They didn't tell you about the court corruptions, the corruption issues related to these courts. They didn't tell you about any of this. And every single article I'm looking at is telling me the same. Reuters, AP, trying to justify this. You idiots, this will be you next. You think it won't? One day you'll try to question any narrative that's put your way and they will sue you and wipe you out. Now, maybe not Reuters or maybe not the AP so much because they at least comply with the narrative. But for anyone who wants to challenge anything, you better be worried. You better be worried because your free speech is not protected. That's what this says. And the Supreme Court won't step in and help you out. They'll look past all the corruption. They'll look past about the fact that they just tried to rob you. People don't understand this issue. Really don't understand this issue. This doesn't just affect Alex. This affects everyone in media. And again, you just saw what happened to Mike Lindell. An amazing guy. Actually, let me talk about Mike Lindell for a half a second here before we go to commercial break. Mike Lindell was the first person to give me a job after Fox pushed me out because of the COVID jabs. Yes. Mike was starting up Lindell TV and he offered me a job. And he was thrilled when he found out that I rejected the COVID jabs. That's the reason why I was unemployed. He gave me a job, a very cushy salary. And now they went after him too. We're taking your calls. Give me a ring, 877-789-2539. I'll try to calm down for the calls in just a few moments. So give me a ring.
Yeah. You're not going to talk to me and talk over me because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about. And they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government. And they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, these will be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off, as the main craft goes into escape velocity in orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. We've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing. But it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon. And that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com. itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm excited that you're all joining us here today. A lot happening. We've got a lot of calls that have come in, so I'm going to try to get to everyone. Let's kick things off with Bill in Wisconsin. Bill, welcome to the show.
Brianna.
Hi, Bill.
Morning, Brianna.
How are you, my friend?
Excellent. Let me, before I get into
what I'm calling about one of Laura Loomer's tweets. And can you believe that someone tweeted yesterday that because I call into InfoWars, I don't really like Laura Loomer?
We love Laura here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So point of detail, you know, I'm very detail-oriented. Is it Brianna or Brianna?
You know what's so funny, Bill? I don't even notice a difference when people say either way. So you could pick either one. I'm not as detail-oriented, apparently.
I'm going to go with Brianna. It seems a little more fussy.
I like it.
All right. So Laura tweeted 20 minutes ago, and this goes to the Muslim Brotherhood, designating the Muslim Brotherhood. And as long as I've known Laura, we've been calling for the Muslim Brotherhood to be designated a terrorist organization. It seems like a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. And you know, this whole time, I'm wondering, why isn't Trump doing it first time? Why isn't it doing it right off the bat now? Talk about, you know, Antifa designating them, but leaving out the Muslim Brotherhood. Laura caught something yesterday, and I'm going to read the tweet. It's not that long. Here's what Laura tweeted. Yesterday, President Trump said Erdogan, quote, Erdogan has one of the most powerful armies in the world. He is much more powerful than he lets known. And then Laura goes on to say, I'm trying to understand how the U.S. is going to play footsie with Erdogan and keep pretending like he's a good guy when he's literally the leader of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. I'm wondering if anyone has thought about this dynamic for when the Trump administration designates, and let's hope they actually do, the Muslim Brotherhood as a foreign terrorist organization. Erdogan's headquarters in the U.S. in the dinette, I had to look that up. What is the dinette? I've got that in my grok, D-I-Y-A-N-E-T. And it's located in Lanham, Maryland. The dinette in Turkey is the arm of the government in Turkey that ensures everything in Sharia is compliant. And we know Sharia compliance is a big thing. Erdogan's jihadi foot soldiers are already positioned outside of our nation's capital for the eventual Muslim Brotherhood takeover over America. This is all laid out as part of their plan in the explanatory moratorium or memorandum. Explanatory memorandum. You can just Google that and read it. When we designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a foreign terrorist organization under the Trump administration, the Secretary of War Pete Hegseth going to bulldoze the dinette. And I don't know if anyone who works for President Trump knows what I'm talking about, but because not many people who work for him have an understanding of Islam or the functioning of the Muslim Brotherhood. This has been made very clear this week with the welcoming of Qatar's pilots on U.S. soil. This is very concerning at Marco Rubio, she tweets. What do you think about that?
She's spot on.
Yeah.
Qatar, for an example, when we saw that last Friday, I was infuriated because, again, she's saying not many people understand the game. Loomer obviously gets it. That's why other organizations, Islamic organizations, go after her. I know she's had some civil battles, too, with them. They don't like the fact that she's exposing it. The Muslim Brotherhood should have been an easy win for us to call that out and designate it properly. So I don't understand the pushback on that and why we haven't done it at all. But there's a lot of people who don't internally want to do this. And they're working aggressively hard to do deals in the Middle East. I cringe because I know that, you know, they personally believe that they could put up this front and pretend like everything's good. They want to coexist and live amongst us. But we know that that's not the case. If you follow their beliefs, if you follow what they actually say, privately or even publicly on social media, you know, Laura Loomer's done an incredible job at exposing what they're saying online. Also, Amy Mech has done an incredible job over at the Rare Foundation as well. So you have to pay attention to what they're actually saying. The business deals that they're doing are just a way for them to get their foot in the door, but we're literally sacrificing our country. And so I think Loomer's spot on with that. And it's also funny, Bill, that this is the one you called me on because I wanted to highlight this because it just came from Texas AG Ken Paxton's office. Ken Paxton just announcing that he has discovered, this is his allegations, illegal actions by the East Plano Islamic Center city developers and has asked the state security board for a referral to pursue legal action. Now, Bill, I'm sure you probably know about Epic. I know that Loomer has done coverage on this as well. So as obviously Amy Mack, done great work on that, at least. But we know that there's a lot of issues with Epic. I live nearby that area and I went to the hearings. It looks like it's benign. When you go to the hearings, there's no, I didn't see any Muslims there. They hired white attorneys, white PR people to represent them in the public hearing so that it looked like they were just individuals who look like the rest of us. But we know, I've driven through it. I know it's not the case. I know that there's a lot of I don't know how else to say it, but there's a lot of individuals there who don't want to coexist with us. I'm trying to tap dance around this a bit. So Ken Paxton has really done an incredible job at digging into them and requiring them to hand over documents. And according to them, they think that they might have found a smoking gun in regards to Epic. They are trying to develop more land, and it pretty much becomes a Muslim compound where they only want their own living there. Now, they can't openly say that because of housing discrimination. But if you live there, you better be Muslim. If you're not, you're going to be paying fees, and it's going to go straight to the mosque. And that's how they're trying to keep it just that way. And when you drive down their streets, it's a lot of streets that are named after very questionable people, people who have been known in the past to be Islamic conquerors. So, yeah, I think this is interesting to see Ken Paxton's office just drop that news. But I also think it's interesting, Bill, that you brought up that Loomer tweet, because the Muslim Brotherhood should have been done a long time ago. I don't think people in administration really truly understand the threat here. Some do. And there's also more, too, in regards to the sleeper cells that were imported into this country, too, Bill, I want to mention. I know our government doesn't like to, right now, the administration doesn't want to tell you about all the sleeper cells they've caught. I know they've caught a lot. The Biden regime allowing hundreds of them to flood into our country. So, yeah, this is a great tweet. Loomer's been obviously one of the first ones to be on this, calling it out between her and Amy Mack. They're both out there always putting out this information. I would have thought that was an easy win for the administration. Unfortunately, though, I don't think they understand. I don't. Bill, thank you for calling, and thank you for sharing our show. I know you share it all the time. You did yesterday as well. So we truly appreciate it. So thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
All right, let's turn to our next caller. Let's talk to Tim in California. Tim, welcome to the show. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Brianna. Good morning.
Good morning.
And just a kind of rider on the end of your call with Bill there. I might be wrong, but it seems like I remember that it was strange that the Muslim Brotherhood kept showing up on the visitors log for the White House when Barack Obama was president of the United States.
Yeah, I remember that.
Did I just I thought maybe I just remembered that weird.
No, anyway. No, I remember something like that too, that report. I could probably find it. Yeah, I remember hearing about that too.
But let me move on to what I called about. You know, you're mentioning the things that Alex is, you know, the travails that the whole process is going through and so forth. Mm-hmm. And it's just been this, you know, this great adventure, this InfoWars and truth and deception and the whole dividing line. And I just thought, well, you know, in my hillbilly experience, when I was a kid growing up, you know, if the church burned down, people didn't stop believing or going to church. They just all rallied together and they built it back. Or, mm-hmm. you know, they would even say, hey, we'll have church, you know, this Sunday if the creek don't rise, you know, and it really might. You might not be able to make it to the church because the creek rises. But the point is nobody's going to quit if the domain name Infowars.com is somehow confiscated or software. You guys have already made these backup facilities, and I'm sure they'll be greater than ever before and so forth and so on. But it's, you know, they're not going to put a bucket of water on the truth. You know, the truth is already, you know, their masks are already falling down. They're revealing themselves day by day. You know, the Democratic Party per se, even if you think it's a fight in that way, even they are at the lowest approval rating they've ever had. It's like not even 20%, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just think it's not all about politics. And I said, I've only spoken to you once previously, I think, but as I part, I'm telling you, you will find that it's not so much good and evil, because that's subjective. People could say, oh, he's the bad one. You're the bad one. No, you're the bad one. It really is creation versus destruction. And if you measure things in that way, it's a lot easier to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in. You know, we've got the next operation popping up next. It's just, and this is what's so great about Alex, you know, he's not going to let this stop him. But to me, it's just so crazy. It's so crazy that someone could just claim that they could just take your business away from you. And they could use the excuse that they didn't like something you said to go after you. It doesn't stop with Alex, and I want to keep, you know, stating that Alex has the tools to fight back and to push back, but It's not good. It's not good that they did this to him in the first place. James in South Carolina, I want to turn to you as well. Welcome to the show.
Having me, Brianna. My first time on the air with y'all.
Thank you.
Running for office in 1988 for the 1992 presidency. I'm the common man for the common people. And I wrote a very extensive platform at that time. And a lot of the things that people are talking about today, like it, the news media being controlled, freedom of speech, stuff like that, was going on back then. You know, the same stuff wasn't brought out so that the general public realized it. I faced it intensely. I was front page news in Asheville, North Carolina. I was front page of the business section in Greensboro, North Carolina. I was given a 30-minute on Channel 8 in Greensboro. I was given a 30-minute chance to speak on one of the local shows about what I stood for. And I wasn't standing for myself trying to become president as much, even though I was running for president. The reason why I was doing it was trying to get the people to realize they had to become involved, to stand up and be heard in order to affect change for the better in this nation.
Hey, James, just a heads up. It's really difficult to hear you right now. I don't know if that's like a phone issue. It sounds like it is, though. It sounds very muffled.
I'm sorry. It is a phone issue, and I had an accident in 2019 that I had a major problem where my speech isn't as good as it used to be. So
yeah,
I'm sorry,
I understand you now. I think it was just too close to your mouth. I was having muffling issues, it sounded like.
I'll be real quick from here. There are a couple of things that I wanted to point out. Number one, as far as what Bill in Wisconsin was talking about having to do with Islam, you know, Islam is unconstitutional. If anybody sits down and studies the Constitution, if you purport to want to control other religions, to exterminate people from other religions like Christianity or something, then it's illegal. And so, therefore, Islam itself, just by what it stands for, is an illegal religion. We could make some kind of arrangements where people could denounce that part of Islam and say, hey, we don't believe in that, but we believe in this. And then it could possibly be legalized, but it's actually an illegal religion in the United States. And when Obama became president, he brought 30,000 military-aged men over here into the United States, all parts of the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, that was a military. You know, it is a military. And how many more have crossed the border since the borders were opened until Trump closed them down when he took over?
Yeah.
People need to really stand up and look at what's going on and pay attention, because what's going on with Alex now, it's a travesty that the Supreme Court has turned it down, but it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
You know? Not a surprise that they didn't look at the 1.4 the amount of money that was being awarded. It's just all wrong. It's a travesty of justice, and people need to stand up and make it known that we're not happy with what the government's doing today.
Yeah, I hope they do. Yeah, James, thank you for that, because it's true. I mean, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be standing up and saying it's not acceptable that we, the people, don't allow this to happen to our own. We shouldn't, because it doesn't just end at Alex. It continues to go on. It continues to go on. Then you're going to be on the receiving end of the lawfare. You're going to be like, well, where is everyone to help me? And the reality of it is everyone's been wiped out. We're still going to be in this fight. Obviously, Alex is going to start his next operation, but shouldn't happen. James, thank you for calling. I want to turn to Jefferson in Virginia. Jefferson, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Can you hear me all right?
I can, sir. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks. You know, Alex is never going to get justice from the legal system, obviously. So I think he needs to go around it by getting Tulsi Gabbard to reveal or declassify everything she can find out about the Sandy Hook issue. If we were to find out that Adam Lanza didn't kill anybody at Sandy Hook, obviously Alex would not be guilty of defaming anyone in that instance.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Tulsi Gabbard's going to be on board to get on that. It's a, you know, everything regarding, because there was a lot of cover, like there was a lot of blockage from information from getting out. So I don't know if Gabbert will do that one. I don't know. It'd be a hard battle to fight. It would be a very hard battle to fight. We'd try to get that information out there, or any information, well, I should say.
It would be interesting to see how many people at the Department of Homeland Security would try to stop her from getting the information she's demanding from them. That would be an indication of their guilt in the first place, if they try to stop her from getting everything she wants to see in the Sandy Hook file to begin with. There is speculation that it was a Homeland Security emergency exercise to begin with, so they would be the agency that was involved in running the PSYOP in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, anyway, I mean, I'd love more transparency. This is supposed to be the most transparent, well, one of the most transparent administrations ever, and I still don't hear much back. My FOIA requests go unanswered. Still got pending lawsuits, being told that simple things like the terror watch list emails that I'm looking for are a national security issue. So I don't know. I don't have much in the way of hope of people being bold and standing up and trying to help us gather information like that. So that's kind of where I am at this, Jefferson. I appreciate your call, though, and I appreciate calling in. It's just we don't have a lot of fighters when it comes to looking for more information, transparency, and there's a lot that I would love to see more information on, I'd love to learn about. And then we wouldn't be able to, you know, speculate, and we'd have more, we'd have a better understanding and more trust in our government. But unfortunately, we can't trust the government because they do suppress a lot of key information. And, you know, just to kind of to piggyback on that too, you know, I wanted to have, Gabbert was the individual who I exposed the terror watch list about. And I wanted to have her on my show to talk again, when she made her way into the administration. But sadly, I was stonewalled, and I was told that they'd let me know when there's availability, which usually is saying that they do when they don't want to have someone on your show. And so that's where I am with that. She just, it was my podcast. It wasn't even InfoWars. It was my own podcast. She wouldn't come on. So I'm, you know, I don't mean to blackpill everyone, but when it comes to finding out the truth, I don't really have faith in the system anymore. So thank you for calling, Jefferson. Sorry for the blackpill moment there. James in Indiana, I want to turn to you. Welcome to the show.
Courts are completely out of control. I think Letice James is a complete piece of trash, but there's a problem when the AG can't afford to fight her own court case.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about Tish James with the $10 million that she has to pull in from taxpayers.
Yeah, that's complete insanity. Imagine the average person can't fight these monsters. Yeah. I mean, the federal government is completely corrupt. The average citizen cannot fight these people. The U.S. Senate needs to pull everybody in over these illegal wiretaps. And they need to have people disbarred, mm-hmm. and they all need to be fired immediately. People think they have HIPAA law rights. They think they have privacy rights. They think they have constitutional rights. The federal government commits crimes against the people they're targeting all the freaking time. And these wiretaps are completely dangerous against these sitting senators because they're not sitting there looking for stuff. They will have people call you and try to set you up. And there's another thing that InfoWars needs to look up. It's called the Postal Mail Cover Program. It's where the federal government sits there and scans all your mail that comes in. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't control what comes in, so they'll just sit there and send you fake stuff or go in and alter your accounts. I think that's something that's going to come out in a year or two, is that the federal government is going into people's accounts, altering the information, and then fabricating cases against people. I think that's something that's huge that's going to come out.
Yeah, yeah. No, 1,000%. I mean, setting a lot of these J6 cases, too, and working with a lot of these defendants, I mean, a lot of these guys raised over $250,000, and they still need more money. There's a gentleman in New York who took on a big Second Amendment battle over ghost guns. He raised $250,000, and he's trying to appeal, and he doesn't have any money to appeal. So he's sitting in custody right now, and he can't fight that. And so, yeah, the legal fees are just insane. That's why if this does happen to you, you ask for a court-appointed judge at first before you figure out anything else. But, I mean, the reality is you can't take on these big financial burdens, and most people take bad plea deals because of it. And so, yeah, I think it's a big issue. I think it's one that's worth fighting against, because accusations are just accusations, and you shouldn't have to be wealthy in this country to be able to defend yourself in court. And I think it's really unfortunate that so many people have been left out to dry. You know, you got Tish James now, who has $10 million at her disposal. She's hiring, obviously, anti-Trump lawyers, but now they have an arsenal of money that they could just pull from. And where's the accountability? Who's auditing it to make sure that their bills are legitimate and they're not just pulling $10 million from New York taxpayers with no verification, no justification for it at all?
I got two quick things. The other thing that really irritates me is when the feds are setting, you know, these disabled people up, and what they did in Michigan with the Whitmer hoax. That was completely disgusting. These guys didn't really have a chance to defend themselves. And lastly, thanks for covering Secretary Collins of the VA and these suicides. He is doing an amazing job. Trump's doing an amazing job of getting these guys off the streets. I mean, the VA has been a two-headed monster. Under Biden, you know, they put illegals before veterans. Completely disgusting. I brought a lot of these issues up with Owen and the Veterans Show. But that's the problem, like you said. If you speak out, they will target you. If you're a federal piece of trash employee falsifying records and killing veterans, they will do nothing. But these veterans are afraid to speak out because they will target them. They will literally go into the hospital, alter your records, and try to set you up. That is how disgusting this system is.
Yeah, well, let me just echo that, too, because I'm trying to obtain the communications records regarding the VA vets who had their benefits pulled, who were criminally charged for J6. Before their trial, they had their benefits pulled. And the VA said, oh, it was just a mistake. And they won't turn over their communications internally as to who orchestrated them to pull those benefits from these individuals. So, yeah, the VA is a mess, and there's a lot of digging that we have to do into that. And it's one of the many stories that I'm trying to cover. But thank you, James.
Let me tell you, there's a story that you guys need to pull up. It's called – I gave this out before. It's called Kokomo Tribune, VA Needs National Audit. It explains a lot of the reasons behind the suicides. The VA is causing a lot of these suicides. And I'm just trying to get some reform done. But it's a massive headache when you try to talk out because they will illegally target you and destroy your life. But, you know, we had two issues here in Indiana. We had a veteran kill himself. They sat there, told vets to get to ask for help. And then they were deliberately denying their bills so they wouldn't. And then we had another one here. It was the Vet Center $1.7 million payout where they were trying to cover up a suicide and they were falsifying these records. They all get free passes. But when they want to target a veteran that speaks out, they will use mafia-style tactics. That stuff needs to stop.
Yeah, yeah. No, we see it with a lot of agencies. James, thank you for calling in. We'll continue to cover it, of course. And I've got friends on the ground who are trying to help improve the VA, so I will continue to cover what they're doing. I've got about a minute. So, Tim in Seattle, I'm going to go to you with the last minute. Welcome to the show, my friend.
For years, so. Okay, nice.
Tim, do you hear me?
Yeah, is there a way you can go right to me at the end of the show? I'm sorry.
We're all done. You got the last final minute, so we've got about 30 seconds now.
We need to definitely make sure the Alex Jones stays on the air and keeps InfoWars. Don't let the free speech die. That's all I'm saying. Just don't let free speech die. And it dies in our hands. It won't die in the establishment's hands. It dies in our hands. God bless.
God bless you too, Tim. Thank you for that. We really appreciate, especially ending on that note. That is an important message that everyone needs to understand. When you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, folks, and you make a purchase there, you are helping us continue our next operations. They're not going to shut us down. We're ready for our next phase in all of this. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. He's got hats. He's got so many things right now that you're going to want to buy because you're making a statement. You're making a statement. They can't come after all of us, but if they do, we will support our own. And we really rely strongly on your support for Alex and for this team here who have been working with Alex for years. And I've worked in media for years myself. I've never actually met so many people who have stayed with one network for 10 plus years. And that's everyone here. So if you want to help us out, which I highly recommend you do, you got to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Keep this man on the air. They won't silence him. We won't let them. When you make a purchase, of course, you're helping us fund our next operation. So head on over to alexjonesstore.com because the fight doesn't end here. All right, folks, we're getting ready to head over into the final hour of the program. I've got two incredible guests joining me in just a moment. Steve Dace is joining the program, as well as Nick Sorter. Don't go anywhere.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up...
Can you, like... shut up.
You get an additional 10% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of
myself and the crew launching InfoWars.com in 1997, 28 years of the InfoWar. So that is the Veterans of the InfoWar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition InfoWars, Veterans of the InfoWars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if InfoWars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term InfoWar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs to the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.
Journal. We're getting ready to kick off the final hour of the program. We're going to give you a little bit of a lowdown as to what's going on as we make this final lap. We got the breaking news just moments ago about the Supreme Court rejecting Alex Jones's challenge of that $1.4 billion judgment. That's in regards to the Sandy Hook shooting, obviously, as many of you guys know. They've been fighting aggressively hard to take Alex off the air. Now, this isn't going to take Alex off the air. It just means that Alex will have to figure out what his legal options are here moving forward. But InfoWars will not die. It will live on, and there will be a next project underway. So, it's just one of the many layers of the lawfare battle that Alex has been taking on for far too long. He shouldn't have to fight this battle, but this is the battle that he has to take on. And so, we'll continue to watch it as it develops, of course. It's just devastating. This doesn't just affect Alex. It affects everyone in media. It affects everyone in media because if they don't like something that you're saying, they could go after you and get an insane amount of money and wipe you out clean. But Alex, again, has the support of his audience. That's why he's been able to stay in this fight for a very long time. So without your help, that wouldn't be the case. So the Supreme Court proving to be an absolute disappointment by not taking up Alex Jones's case, his challenge. And I think this is a massive, regardless of where you fall in this issue, I think it's a massive loss to everyone on board. Because again, this means it could happen to anyone. The Supreme Court's not going to save you from corrupt courts, from an insane judgment. I mean, Alex has made offers. He said it to Tucker Carlson. He's made offers to give these families a very generous amount of money. And so, we'll continue to follow the updates as it goes on. Not good news, though. Supreme Court being a massive, massive, massive disappointment. We're going to be joined in this hour by Steve Dace. He's going to be joining the program as well. He's one of the incredible hosts over at Blaze TV. I've got a lot of questions to ask him in regards to immigration because there was this local news station covering the CDL licenses, many of you guys know, the truck drivers who are not from our country. They're not citizens. They want to keep trucking, but obviously that is a danger for the rest of us. So Steve's got a lot on his mind to talk about, and we've got other topics we'll be talking about as well. Also, Nick Sorter joining the program as well in this hour. Nick has been very busy lately. You know, he's battling Antifa literally and figuratively, but he has an update in regards to the FBI going after Antifa and investigating what the organization has been up to. And although they don't want to say that they're an organization, the rest of us, well, we've been paying attention for these last few years, so we're going to get the very latest on that. Plus, Glenn Beck actually said that the FBI went to his home and just asked him some questions as to what he knows about Antifa, and we're going to play that clip as well. So that's the good news. The federal government taking the left-wing terrorists, the threat itself, seriously. And that's something we could all get behind that we've been calling for a very long time. So that is refreshing. That is very refreshing to hear. Again, we broke you that news regarding Alex Jones's challenge. It was also a very interesting story. We've covered it on this show as well, but the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, is claiming he has discovered illegal actions taken up by the East Plano Islamic Center. Now, that's known as EPIC. For those of you at home, it gained national coverage because a lot of Americans were deeply concerned about the potential Muslim compound expanding operation. And there was a lot of questions regarding housing discrimination, but according to Paxton, he has apparently uncovered something that he deems as potentially illegal And he is now asking developers, well, specifically the State Securities Board, for a referral to pursue legal action. Now, that coming from Paxson's office. We don't know the details behind all of it, of course. I will be digging into that, of course, reaching out for comments. That's a big one. That is a big one. You know, I'm from the region now. Everyone knows this now. But I do live in the area, and this is a big one. This is a big one. They've been able to purchase this land legally, but there's a lot of developmental issues there, and a lot of people in the area are very upset about it. So I'll bring you an update on that tomorrow after I speak with Paxson's team and try to get some answers on that front, of course. So don't go anywhere, folks. We've got a ton of more content coming your way on the American Journal. Steve will be joining me in a moment, as well as Nick, right after. So don't go anywhere.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're in our final lap of the show. We're excited that you're all with us, of course. I'm also joined by my friend Steve Dace. He joins us now to react to the news regarding the Supreme Court and their decline to hear Alex Jones's appeal. Obviously, this is in reference to the $1.4 billion Sandy Hook judgment. Steve joins us now. Steve, I want to thank you for joining me. You're one of the incredible hosts over at Blaze TV, and it is an honor, of course, to have you on the show. But we just got the news that the Supreme Court is not going to be taking up this case, that they don't want to hear Alex's challenge. It's disappointing. It's really disappointing. But I wanted to hear your reaction to that news.
I think it's the wrong decision was made by the Supreme Court. And let me explain why. But let me use terms that maybe would be not native, or terminology or an explanation that would not be native to this particular audience. Let's take it outside of this particular audience, who obviously loves Alex and is loyal to his mission, and he's earned their loyalty. And let's take it to the kind of audience that Chief Justice John Roberts goes, you know, the circles he runs in, Brianna. Mm-hmm. And let's put it in language and terminology they would understand. All right. If I had an audience with John Roberts, here's what I would say to him as to why they should absolutely take this case. You should take it, John, if you believe Alex Jones actually is exactly who you claim he is and fear that he is. That's exactly why you should take the case. If he is a gaslighter, the guy yelling fire in a crowded theater and proves that a blind, squirrel can find an acorn every now and then. If you say enough wrong things and predict enough bad things about government, eventually they'll prove you to be true, because human nature is not basically good. And, government is the greatest example of that. If you're right about that, John, that's exactly why you should take the case. Because by not taking the case, you're allowing Alex's audience to continue to have suspicion of your institutions. And you're an institutionalist, John. You've made that very clear, both in your writings as a chief justice, in the public remarks you have given. You view yourself as the last vanguard of American institutionalism. You are standing a post there to defend America's institutions. You've made that very clear. That's the guiding light of your legal philosophy. Well, if that is the case, to then not take up the case of maybe the best known challenger of America's institutions. I would think if you think that this thing is a deadlock cinch and they did it right, then John Roberts, here's your opportunity to bury Alex Jones then. Why would you not take that opportunity and instead allow him, according to the way you see things, to feed his own massive audience of more and more suspicions because of your unwillingness to hear his case? I would actually take it to John Roberts and use his own worldview, Brianna, his own perspective against him, and use that to be the reason why, frankly, he should take the case. If he thinks that Alex Jones is exactly what he believes that he is, then that's all the reason to take the case. Let's have it out in the open and let's prove it to everybody once and for all within the hallowed halls of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yeah, no, 1,000%, Steve. And that's the part that's so infuriating here, because they want us to have trust in these institutions, but they've proven time and time again that we can't, because I don't know if it's a fear aspect of it or they just don't want to uncover what we all know is going on behind the scenes. But, you know, Alex is making these allegations and this would be the perfect place to dispute it. I mean, why not hear from everyone on the court and everyone get their perspective in on this? The fear is the only angle that I have.
I mean, if you look at the current makeup of the court, Brianna, it essentially is a perfect amalgamation of the current ideological spectrum in America. All right. I mean, you have the DEI hire there in Ketanji Brown. You have a smart lesbian liberal on the court who at times is actually, when our cases have been strong, has actually ruled in our favor on a few cases over the years. You have a couple of reactionary liberals there. So that's basically the American left, right? You have the smart lesbian liberals, kind of the Bill Maher on the panel. You have the DEI hire, and then you have two hard leftists. And then who are the people on the right? You've got the institutionalist Bushy and Roberts. You've got the hardcore libertarian in Gorsuch. You've got your traditional movement conservatives in Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. And you kind of have Karl Rove in a black robe and Brett Kavanaugh. And we still don't know what the hell Amy Coney Barrett is. Frankly, we're still trying to figure that part out, but that speaks for a lot of Republicans in America too. And so we have a panel that basically embodies the current ideological Overton window in America. Who better to hear the final definitive case on Alex Jones's credibility than this particular institution? If they really think that he is worthy of being discredited publicly to this degree, then this was their opportunity to pronounce the final judgment on that. And I'm just gonna tell those institutionalists, you're actually making Alex's case for him by not taking up his case.
Yeah, and the efforts to silence Alex are gonna fail, ultimately. He's gonna have his next platform, and, whether he owns it or not, you know, I don't know the legal stuff and all of that, but they're not going to succeed at silencing him. He is going to move on. He's going to be more powerful because the people in this country are going to view it as a victim of the efforts to silence him. And I don't think that this is going to play out well for them. And I know he is going to be right now figuring out his plan and figuring out how he could make sure that we are in this battle, this information war, because they don't want the truth coming out. And that's just the reality behind it. I've seen it time and time again. I seek transparency from our government through FOIA requests, and they are consistently rejecting those because they don't want to unveil what's actually going on behind the scenes. And so this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work. And just from a perspective of an independent journalist, I fear that this could happen to any of us, that if they don't like something that you say, because it doesn't stop at Alex, we've seen that time and time again, they will continue to do this to others. And so for me, this is just infuriating that this is going on in this country. And we also are hearing that there's issues at the DOJ who aren't going out there and defending Alex's right to free speech. And so, again, it doesn't matter how you fall on this. This will affect all of us if we allow it to just go unchallenged. And so it's really discouraging seeing the Supreme Court come down and just decide not even to weigh in on this or hear Alex's argument. But I have faith in Alex that he will be able to overcome it. Steve, I wanted to get to the topic that we were here to discuss originally, because a lot happened yesterday in regards to President Trump working on an incredible, and this is a lot to celebrate, that incredible peace agreement, the first phase of it at least. And although I don't think the Islamic terrorists are going to want to be peaceful for a long time, for now it is a bit of a win. But, you know, President Trump yesterday in clip 12 that we're going to play for you calls out a lot of the Islamic nations for standing by and not questioning or even trying to fight back these Islamic terrorists. Let's take a listen.
All across the Middle East, the forces of chaos, terror and ruin that have plagued the region for decades now stand weakened, isolated and totally defeated. A new coalition of proud and responsible nations is emerging. And because of us, the enemies of all civilization are in retreat. Thanks to the bravery and incredible skill of the Israeli Defense Forces and Operation Rising Lion.
So Israel has done a major role in all of this when it comes to pushing back against the Islamic terrorists that have been brewing in the Middle East. What were your thoughts yesterday on President Trump's comments on all of this?
I thought yesterday was just a masterclass in statecraft is what I thought yesterday was. And I hearken back to the on election night. And I mean, let's face it, Donald Trump has demonstrated through the long course of his long and successful and publicly notarized life, he does not lack for ego or the joy of taking victory laps. But if you go back to election night, when if there was ever a moment where nobody in America, except, you know, the people trying to destroy it, would have, you know, besmirched Trump taking the ultimate victory lap after they tried to kill him and tried to put him in prison and he still won, he didn't. He turned right away to the governing of the country, to the people he wanted to appoint to the cabinet. Same thing here. If there was ever a moment whatsoever, I mean, he's literally Hitler and yet he's on the cover of Jerusalem Post saying thanks be to God for Donald Trump. All right. And so it would be this moment, but he didn't do that. Instead, he cast a vision and he governed. And the reason Trump had the secret sauce of his success here, Brianna, is that he has he's shown, and he knew this from his time working in the business sectors of the Arab world. There are plenty of craven capitalist, venture capitalist people in the Islamic world, too, that really don't give a rip about Wahhabism, but just felt they had to essentially, or radicalism, because they had to cater to it as part of a political construct, that he thought that there was a way to craft deals with those people if we could do things like separate them from the Palestinian question, that he knew that the Arab world did not like Iran, that they view as kind of Samaritans, to use a biblical analogy, redheaded stepchildren, Persian. They're not real Muslims. He knew this. They were, that much of the Arab world detested Iran and didn't like Iran's grandiose desires any more than the Israelis did. Those things worked and got him to this point. And now what's going to determine whether or not this is a generational paradigm shift and not just the greatest singular moment of peace in 50 years, as Rubio said yesterday, he's right about that. But how does this now become a permanent paradigm shift? Well, this is now the opportunity for those Arab countries to step in and essentially make Gaza the next Dubai, where it's going to look Muslim, right? Women are still going to wear coverings, things of that nature. It's still going to look, it's still going to look Muslim. But there is a level of there is no love your neighbor as you love yourself in Islam like we have in Christianity. But the closest you see to that is in the UAE, Dubai, Jordan, more modernized cultures where they still hate you for believing that God had a son, but they won't kill you immediately on the streets for believing it. And, you know, Warner Brothers has a state-of-the-art amusement park, in, Dubai, for example. So turn Gaza into the Riviera of the Middle East. It's the next Dubai, and it's essentially a luxury, you know, Riviera buffer zone between the Islamic world and Israel, where groups can come together of various persuasions, you know, and what happens in the Gaza, like in Vegas, stays in Gaza like it does in Vegas. That's the best hope here for this to be a paradigm shift. And these Arab countries now have got to take on ownership. You know, much of what we understand are Palestinian people are people that actually are not native to the region at all, from a country that never really existed called Palestine, that these other Arab countries didn't want, and they just kind of dispatched them there or let them settle there. And so now, since they made the mess, Trump is saying, this is your opportunity to clean it up. The Israelis have essentially leveled Hamas. What's left of them, they're greatly diminished. They had no alternative but to negotiate, and the fact they could kill their leaders in Qatar meant they were just nowhere safe. So now, this is your chance now as the adults in the Arab world to come in here, clean this place up, make it the next Dubai, and now there's a buffer zone where a little country at the size of New Jersey, that's the largest or the only Jewish native country in the world, can coexist alongside of you because you've created this zone and you've taken it over as stewards of your culture and your region. And that's the challenge now that awaits the Arab world. Steve, and I said Arab world on purpose and not Muslim, because there is a distinction between the Arab Muslim community and what they think of Iran and some of the Shia radicals, and, for example, what the other aspects of Islam thinks.
So, Steve, the critics against Israel are going to say that this is the reason why Israel used such a massive response of force to go after those in that region, because they wanted to possibly rebuild and to recreate and do what you were saying, that this is a global kind of thing that they're trying to do elsewhere. What would be your response there? Because I understand the rebuilding part of all of this, but a lot of people believe that was the original goal in all of this.
Well, the Israelis handed over autonomy to the so-called Palestinians in 2008. Mm. And all they did was turn right around and elect Hamas as their political leaders. So there's already been a de facto two-state solution. This theorem's already been tried. Mm. So at this point, Hamas had let it be known, and Iran let it be known, they simply do not want to coexist with Israel on any level whatsoever. And I think this is where you have to trust President Trump. If the Israelis had not put in the level of operation and operational efficiency against Iran that we did, that we saw, which notice that none of the Arab, all the things that we feared, that the Arab countries would step in now and defend, the Arab nations largely stood by for 2 years, Brianna. We have to look at the facts.
Yeah.
They largely stood by for 2 years and let Israel turn Gaza into a parking lot. Many of the Arab countries actually sent their own planes and scattered their own planes and drones to go after Iranian missiles earlier this year in response to what happened to the bombing of the Iranian nuclear reactors. So a lot of the Arab world has clearly demonstrated it does not want to continue this unfettered breeding ground of radicalism in the West Bank region, and does not want Iran and its goals of intifada and global dominionism. Maybe for different reasons than we in the West, but we have that in common with one another. And Trump knew that. And I think this is where he's earned our trust, regardless of what your thoughts are on the Israelis. And that if the Israelis had not been as efficient in these operations as they turned out to be, Trump would have cut bait. I think you and I both know the one thing Trump hates more than anything else is to be associated with losers. He just would have cut bait. And he would have said, hey, you guys got to get a better leader than Bibi Netanyahu. He doesn't know what he's doing. He wouldn't have taken on any political capital for them at all if they weren't actually doing what they were doing. And they were doing it well enough that the Arab part of this coalition was kept at bay and let it commence for the last 2 years. But we are now at the end of that part of the arrangement. Right. You heard Trump say last week, hey, no, I'm not going to let the Israelis settle in the West Bank. That's clearly the no-go zone for the Arab part of the coalition. Well, for the Arab part of the coalition, for that to continue, because we cannot just have another breeding ground of terrorism inhabit that region. So if you don't want Jewish settlers in that region or Zionist settlers in that region, then what Trump is saying to the Arab world is you must now come in and steward this place. You must turn it into some kind of a Dubai-esque, you know, oasis so that the Israelis do not feel threatened, do not feel there's an existential threat on their doorstep. Every morning when they get up, every morning could be October the 7th. This is your opportunity now to prove that you can be part of a community here of peace. And you don't have to share a lot of values in common and a lot of distinctions in common and nuances in common. You just have to show we're not savages. That's a pretty low standard. And that's the standard now that the Arab world has to show President Trump that it can meet.
Yeah. Yeah. And we look forward to seeing how that plays out, because again, a lot of people, we had people on the show yesterday who were doubtful of all of that. But we could be optimistic. I mean, what happened yesterday was absolutely incredible. And I want to keep pushing for just that. President Trump obviously holding all parties' feet to the fire and making sure that peace is the long-term goal here. But, you know, we're going to play a clip for you, clip 15, because I thought it was really interesting. Barack Obama is not very happy that President Trump has undid a lot of the great things that he thinks he's done during his time in the White House. Let's take a listen.
A lot of what I represented,
yeah,
a lot of what Michelle and I had tried to project, the values, our thinking about America.
Uh-huh.
You know, my successor seemed to represent the opposite.
Right.
Not seemed, did.
Yeah.
And so I think there was a lot of anger, a lot of sadness,
yeah,
some fear among a big chunk of the country.
Steve, I think it's a little strange that he is taken back by the fact that when Trump was elected, that a lot of the things that he did were undone. And he thinks that's strange, given the fact that the American people elected him solely on the purpose that they didn't like what they saw coming from the White House. And that's the reason why President Trump was elected and why he's continuously been elected as president. Your reaction to Barack Obama just being in denial that the American people really weren't on his side and they didn't like what came out of his White House?
Well, I think in Barack is actually being honest here about these are incontrovertible worldviews. They can't coexist in a country. They just can't. They can't coexist in a culture. We're in the midst of a worldview steel cage match. And when it's over, one worldview is walking out and the other won't. You know, and I don't know about, you know, I'm guessing where I and this audience would be in complete agreement is we like it better when our worldview comes out of the steel cage match and theirs is still in there licking their wounds.
Yeah.
But I mean, this goes down to even the men on a personal level. And if you look at Trump's children, for example, and they've been through personal scandal, they've been through celebrity scandal, just being in the public eye with their father, and yet their devotion to their father. They take on their dad's characteristics, for example. They're invested in their dad's causes and businesses. Meanwhile, you look at Barack Obama, who just seems to be shrinking as a man right before our eyes as he gets older, which is to be explicable when your own wife comes out on her podcast earlier this year and says she's glad she didn't have your son, because then he would have just been a little mini Barack. One of the most emasculating moments, I'm just telling you right now, Brianna, every man would much rather come home to his wife cheating on him in their marriage bed than for him, for her to grab a microphone and tell the public, I didn't want to have your offspring, populating the earth. That's about the most emasculating, retort you can imagine you could give your husband. And so right down to the contrast of how they view themselves and their own family dynamics, these worldviews are not reconcilable. They cannot share a culture. And it took a long time for our side to understand this and figure this out. But I think we're finally now starting to get there.
Yeah.
It's a zero-sum game.
Yeah. No, I think we are. And honestly, if we didn't see how bad things got with Barack Obama, I mean, at the time I was a registered Democrat and I saw what was going on and I didn't realize how bad things were. And I didn't realize that I actually didn't actually have the same views as Barack Obama. I had a vision for this country that would make it a lovely place, but it wasn't that the method to get there wasn't what they had in mind and what they were trying to sell. And so I think a lot of the most like loudest MAGA voices were those who supported Barack Obama, is what I've kind of learned while I was talking to a lot of people. So yeah, 1,000%. Steve, before we go though, I wanted to get your take on this, because this soundbite, this news package had me laughing. There's a trucker who was, I guess, in California, but he's not a U.S. citizen. He is from India, and he's upset because the Trump administration is no longer going to be providing CDL licenses for those who are not U.S. citizens or here on residency. Let's take a listen to clip 14.
Last week, Vivek Sharma went to the DMV to renew his trucking license, but he was denied. The problem? New rules surrounding the process. As he explains in Hindi, only green card holders and U.S. citizens can get their commercial driver's license renewed. Sharma's been in the U.S. legally for the past 10 years, seeking political asylum. His final court case is next year. He's been driving a truck for the past 8 years. But now he can't.
Ab kya karenge aap?
Abhi kya kuch local job dekhenge?
When asked what comes next, he says he's worried. Trucking paid well. The sudden stop in income means he won't have money to send back to his family in India. Now he will have to start over. The U.S. Department of Transportation issued emergency rules that require the DMV to stop issuing commercial driver's licenses, or CDLs, to drivers who are not U.S. citizens.
Steve, I want to step in on this, because this is my main issue. Number one, he's been here for years, hasn't learned English, doesn't want to learn English. And my second issue with this is he's sending his money back to India, and that's the reason why he wants to keep working. Your reaction, though?
I mean, your instincts are correct. I mean, we're the only nation on earth that apparently doesn't get to have a country, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene, this is the exact case she said earlier this week. Well, you know, construction businesses in my native Georgia would empty out if the president continues with these immigration policies. Well, I looked it up, Brianna. The average construction worker in Georgia makes between $22 and $24 an hour. And that's with illegals and immigrants driving the wages down, because they will do this for subsistent wages, right? So there's not enough able-bodied men that are Americans in Georgia that want to make $22 an hour driving a truck. I have a hard time believing that. And if those jobs actually went to Americans, they'd probably pay $25, $26, $27 an hour, which means you'd even get a higher amount of a labor market at the exact same time. This is the whole scam of this. From the very beginning, that your country has to be a subsidy and a breeding ground for other countries and their cultures to take advantage of yours.
Yeah.
And that's just flat out treason and treacherous.
Yeah. And the fact that we allow it to happen in the first place, Steve, really gets under my skin, because again, they're so ungrateful. I mean, the fact that he thinks that he could just come here, claim asylum, and we have to lay out the red carpet for him and allow him to work and take our jobs and just accept it and allow him to send his money back to his family. I mean, at least he's not scamming. Yeah, I get that. That's usually what they do in their country, in India, to American citizens all the time. But no, this really gets under my skin, and it really bothers me that we're allowing, normalizing it. And the media is giving you empathy. Oh, look at this poor guy. He can't send money back to his family. He can't even speak English. He's been here for years, and he has not even had the time to set aside to learn our language. So it's just, it's really infuriating. Steve, I want to thank you for joining me today, and I also want to remind our audience to do an incredible job over at Blaze TV. So make sure you give him a follow there as well. Steve, thanks for jumping on with us today and reacting to the breaking news. We appreciate it.
You bet, Brianna. Good to see you. Take care.
Good to see you as well. All right, folks, I want to remind you, we are only in this fight because of all of you at home. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. When you make a purchase there, we're helping us get our next platform going. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com today. So many incredible items. You can even win a car when you make a purchase over there, of course. So head on over to alexjonesstore.com.
You're not going to talk to me and talk over me because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
Go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
I've been on air for 31 years, but 28 years ago, I launched InfoWars, and it's changed the world thanks to all of your support of the operation. People like Hakeem Jeffries want us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
That's what all their lawfare, all their lawsuits, all their attacks have been about, and they're passing anti-free speech laws in Canada, the UK, Europe. They're arresting people for even criticizing the government, and they're trying to bring that here. And that's why it's so important to try to keep InfoWars on the air. But regardless, these will be taken off very, very soon. We're going to continue on in the fight. But going forward, we'll no longer be called InfoWars. That's why it's so important now, which could be your last chance, to get all of the great shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it, that have InfoWars on it. The classic designs and some of the new designs. That's why we're launching the InfoWars Veteran Edition, or Veterans of the InfoWar. All of you that supported the InfoWar, you are the InfoWar. You are the modern Paul Revere's. You're the reason we're having this massive success here in the United States and around the world. You're the reason the globalists are desperate and admit their entire system is collapsing down around them. We're winning major battles, but we've not yet won the main war. And I have been proud to fight with you over these decades. I am so blessed and satisfied by the incredible effect we've all had together. So to celebrate 28 years of the InfoWar, 1997 to 2025, which could be the end of this incarnation of it, and I hope we go on. And regardless, the InfoWar never dies. It belongs to the people. It's the term for information warfare. They use lies. We use truth. But the URL and this building and all of that goes away, and it's like rocket engines, boosters falling off as the main craft goes into escape velocity and orbit. As John Paul Jones famously said, the founder of the U.S. Navy, I have not yet begun to fight. But it is important to get original InfoWars gear while you still can. All the classic designs and the new Veterans of the InfoWar designs that are limited edition and help keep this operation on the air and fund the new Alex Jones network that's being built. We've already seen some of the studios, the great work the crew's been doing, but it's much more expansive than what you've seen, and that'll be revealed very, very soon, and that's thanks to all of your support. So when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you will have access to the widest selection, over 500 designs of Patriot t-shirts, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, you name it. And all of the t-shirts are $19.97 in honor of the year that I launched InfoWars.com itself. So again, thank you all for your support. And there's more.
But wait, there's more!
With promo code Hakeem at checkout, because he wants us all to shut up, and we're not going to shut up, get an additional 10% off right now. That's promo code Hakeem. Use it now.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't
Go
you
ahead.
Just keep your mouth shut?
Hakeem Jeffries hopes you shut up. Hakeem Jeffries hopes you don't help keep us on the air, because then he can continue his tyrannical activity. That's why it's a revolutionary act when you support this operation and wear the Patriot apparel, available right now at thealexjonesstore.com, celebrating 28 years of the InfoWar. Thanks for keeping us on the air. And Hakeem, we've just begun to fight. We're not going to shut up.
Bigotry will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
Mm-hmm.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm excited that you are all here with us. We've gotten breaking news this hour. We're going to keep talking about it because one of the main efforts in all of this is to silence us here at InfoWars, but we're not going anywhere anytime soon. The breaking story is that the Supreme Court has rejected Alex Jones's appeal over that $1.4 billion Sandy Hook judgment. Alex obviously looking to get in front of the highest court in the country to make his case as to why these corrupt courts went after him, the corruption exposed what happened behind the scenes, how this was a well-orchestrated effort in his belief. And unfortunately, the Supreme Court being a massive disappointment to the American people and refusing to take up this case. This was a case for free speech. And it's really enraging. It's really enraging to think that the Supreme Court wouldn't want to take on a case like this because, as you just heard Steve Daines say, I mean, for John Roberts, if you really believe that everything that they say about Alex Jones was true and that he was not being truthful and this was not a corrupt court case, why wouldn't you want to have all of your justices weigh in on this? It's absolutely disgusting. Joining me now to discuss, Nick Sorter. He hosts a show on InfoWars on Sundays, obviously also an independent journalist. And he's getting into a fight of his own these days with members of the far left. And so we're honored to have him on the show today. Nick, I just kind of want to get your overall reaction. You know, this news just broke about this, sadly, the Supreme Court refusing to take up Alex Jones's appeal regarding the Sandy Hook judgment. Your thoughts?
Well, unfortunately, I'm just not surprised, I guess. I mean, if the Supreme Court were to take something up like this, they would just expose how corrupt it was from the beginning. I mean, this would... if the inner workings of this case were made public, it would probably destroy any of the remaining faith that Americans have in our justice system and our legal system. It's crazy to me that we're looking at $1.4 billion for this, and it seems like to me. This is as somebody that is not employed by InfoWars and is not speaking for InfoWars. I'm speaking for myself that there is something else going on here. You've got these people that are trying to take over InfoWars and shut it down. They're knowing that they would that Alex would have no way to pay them back if they just take it and shut it down. There's something else going on here. It's really, really weird. And I know you probably feel the same way.
Yeah.
Something shady's going on here.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, we heard from Alex yesterday when that Tucker Carlson interview was released. And in that interview, you know, Alex said that he's made offers and even trying to offer up the next 10 years of his salary and his income. And it was rejected. So I think it's very obvious here, in my opinion, that this is all about just silencing Alex. And although that won't work because we have a great audience at home who supports the InfoWars team and Alex's next venture, whatever that might be through, you know, the AlexJonesStore.com and other things, it scares me as an independent journalist. It scares me for this reason alone. It doesn't matter how you feel about what Alex Jones may have said. Okay. It has nothing to do with that. It's the fact that they could go after you, crush you, get all of these attorneys, get these courts to just crush you. You don't have a shot in hell, to go after these people or to even defend yourself at that point. And they could just issue this absurd, in my opinion, this absurd ruling, this judgment against you. And there's nothing you can do. You can't fight back. You have to now figure out a way to get $1.4 billion. You could spend three decades building an empire like he has with InfoWars, and it could all be wiped clean, all because it's a group of people in this country that don't like something you said, and they could go after you. Alex has offered, according to him, like he said yesterday, he's offered money. He's offered as much as he possibly can to not make money in the next 10 years, and that's not sufficient enough for them. As an independent journalist, what does that mean to you when you sit back and you watch all of this?
I mean, in order to even be in this business at this point, you have to just realize that overnight you could lose absolutely everything to a rigged, corrupt case. I mean, even the judge, I watched part of this case when Alice was testifying and stuff, and the judge was just nasty to him. You could tell that, like, she was just letting her emotions get to her, when Alex was testifying and such, which is obviously that's not how a judge should be handling a case. They should be above that, emotion and that personal bias that, that they very clearly had. But, you know, the other thing is I believe they're trying to also take Alex's, like, social media pages, like, at Real Alex Jones, they're trying to take that away too. I mean, how much more proof do you need that this is about silencing Alex more than anything here? They will not be able to, and I say this very definitively, you know, Alex is the kind of person that would do this anyway, even if he doesn't make money off of it. I mean, you go sit down for dinner with him one time and you can tell, like, he believes everything that he says. This is not, it's not like he comes on air and he's making things up. If he's saying it, he believes it and usually has a reason, a good reason to believe it. This is a case, pure and simple, of them trying to make sure that Alex doesn't have a voice, but Alex is not going to go away. They could put the guy in jail and he would still do the show from the jail phone, right? That's just how Alex is, and that's why we love him.
Yeah, yeah. And his work ethic, I mean, like, I talk about it all the time, is crazy. I mean, the fact that he's been able to build this, as somebody who just had a podcast, it was so stressful to do a podcast every day. I couldn't even imagine the stress he's had to endure, to build up InfoWars to what it is, the multiple studios, the cameras, the control rooms, to have a team full of people who have been here for over a decade and working with Alex. That doesn't happen in media. That never does. The turnover is usually crazy. I mean, you don't see this level of loyalty, to any media outlet, but the guys who work here, the women who work here are loyal to the cause. They're loyal to Alex. And that tells you everything you need to know about the man. And so this is really upsetting. But again, we're just going to pack up and move on to the next operation because they can't silence him. They can't silence him, and he will not allow it. He will not allow it. Nick, I want to shift gears a little bit to something that you are a part of now, it looks like, the investigation into Antifa. Now, we've been covering everything that happened to you in Portland, and I was enraged when I saw what was going on with you. You were assaulted more than three times, I think I've counted, in separate altercations. And, you know, these far left-wing individuals who just went out there and went after you, it was really devastating to see, but I was proud of you to see what we're seeing on your screen right now. You've taken that American flag, now allowing them to burn it, saving it, and now you continue to go around with that flag and show everyone what you've saved. I mean, this is symbolic, this moment, but it's not just that. Now, after seeing your arrest, seeing the violence that Antifa has committed over these last few, I don't know, years, we're finally starting to get somewhere. It looks like the FBI might be launching their investigation into Antifa, and we've got some proof of that. I want to play a soundbite from Glenn Beck yesterday telling us what he's been talking about with the FBI in regards to Antifa. Take a listen.
It is so clear to me that they are exploring all angles of this, and they are talking to anyone and everyone that can give them any kind of information. How do I know? Saturday, I get a phone call. The director would like to send over some agents to speak to you, Glenn. And I'm like, the direct FBI agents? Yes, you said some things that they need to talk to you about. And I'm like, well, good things are bad. They'll be over. So they sat in my living room. Three agents sat in my living room on Saturday afternoon for almost 2 hours. And I immediately called Jason. I'm like, Jason, you're the researcher. It's your fault. I'm going to throw you under the bus. You better get your butt over here. So Jason was there, and my wife and Jason and I sat there, and it was surreal at one point. I talked to him for about 15 minutes just going over the Tides Foundation and saying, if you understand Tides, you'll understand how difficult your job is going to be. And this is information that I first gave on Fox years ago.
Okay, so Nick, give us a little bit of insight as to what's going on behind the scenes right now with the FBI.
Yeah, well, the FBI launched a blitz this weekend. I was actually the recipient of one of these calls. Luckily, they didn't show up at my house because I would have been like, what the hell? What did I do this time? You know, it's coming. I have a little bit of PTSD from the last arrest. So, but anyway, no, they gave me a call. They called multiple other people that were within the Antifa roundtable. at the White House last week trying to pry for more information. I was more than happy to give it to them. I know Andy Ngo spoke with them for over 2 hours as well. I mean, that guy is a, when it comes to Antifa, that guy is a, a war chest of knowledge and information. So I'm glad that they gave him a call as well. But what we need is a J6 style FBI, all hands on deck approach to Antifa. I mean, these people are, exponentially more dangerous than anybody that was arrested on J6. And you saw, or for J6, you saw these raids happening, just back to back to back to back of people that, their crime was trespassing, and you were still seeing these FBI raids. That's what we need here. It needs to be an all of government approach. It needs to be like, you need to have the Joint Terrorism Task Force on top of this. The DOJ needs to have a specific Antifa task force to go after these people, because these people are a lot more, they've done a lot more than just trespass, especially, you know, if you want to go back to 2020 and such, where they were literally throwing bombs at police and agents, federal agents in Portland. Practically none of them were ever prosecuted. The statute of limitations for lobbing bombs at cops is, I believe, infinite. So they could be doing that if they wanted to, and they should be doing that. I will be talking to, I can't really say who I'll be talking to today, but I'll be talking to somebody pretty high up today, and I'm going to push for that idea. Yeah. That a task force be created, a J6-style task force, to raid these people's homes in the middle of the night. And the best part about it, these Antifa hacks, most of them are broke as hell and living together, you know, be 5-6 of them together in one little two-bedroom apartment. So it'll be perfect. I mean, you get a lot of collaterals doing that. It'll be easier than the J6 raids, if you ask me, so... that's what I'm going to be pushing for today, and I'm hoping that's what we're going to see happen. I mean, like Owen Schroyer, if you look at what happened to him on the, you know, he's an InfoWars veteran, also a J6er that went to prison. You know, they put him through the ringer for trespassing. So, yeah, we can do a lot more to these people that you see on the screen right now.
Yeah, I mean, they have a history of violence, and they don't shy away from it either, unless you're a media outlet or an independent journalist who wants to record it. That's the only time they get a little aggressive with you guys. But, I mean, we've watched what they do, not only in the United States, but in Europe. And so to sit here and pretend like this isn't an organization and play into this delusion, like they're not an organization, because I guess mainstream media wants to make sure that they can't get RICO cases brought up against them, so they're doing their best to protect them. It's absurd. It's absurd, and it's infuriating. And Nick... You know, the other part I have with all of this is we sat back and watched as Portland PD decided to kind of coddle these Antifa members and these far left wing, whether they're part of Antifa or not, these far left wing terrorists, I refer to them as, you know, they went after you and arrested you and allowed a lot of these people just to go and do whatever they wanted to do. I mean, we saw when Katie was assaulted, how they allowed that one individual, that woman, just walk away and leave after someone said, oh, I'm a lawyer. And that was quick release. Let him go. What are your thoughts right now in regards to that case? Because we had your attorney on. We know there's more there. But what's the status on you versus Portland PD?
Well, we have confirmed that they lied about arresting my primary aggressor. We found out the identity of the person and know that they never went to jail that night or any subsequent night. It is a trans thing. I think it's a, I think it's actually a, dude, I don't remember. I can't keep up. Everybody there is trans, Brianna. I'm sorry. It's like half of the people there are trans, and that's why, I mean, they're being taken advantage of because they're mentally ill, they're lonely, and so they're brought out here to terrorize the streets. Like, look at this chick on the screen here is dressed as a bird. I mean, come on. You know, these are not normal people. But anyway, like we have sent a letter to the Portland police chief, Chief Day, who is woke as hell. So, if anything, he'll probably give an award to the man lady that, threw a punch at me and, broke my camera. But we're pushing ahead. We're demanding a criminal investigation into this person. And, you know, we're going to see it through. This is more than just talk. I am ready to fund this lawsuit. I am ready to pay to have the police chief deposed and the sergeants deposed and the mayor deposed, because the mayor actually in Portland has ultimate control over the police department. She's essentially the police, or sorry, he is essentially, which again, you probably don't know what Portland, it could be a she, he, she.
Yeah, they all look the same.
Yeah. But they're in charge. They're in the ultimate charge of the police. So he'll be deposed as well.
Yeah, I mean, Nick, it's pretty insane that you went through all of this. I remember calling the jail where they were holding you, and I was like, "Hey, I'm looking for my fellow journalist. I think he's in your custody." And they're like, "Oh, don't worry, he'll be released soon." So they knew who you were before you even said your name, and they knew that you were a journalist. And they
kept me there for 4 hours longer than they keep anybody else on this crime.
Maybe they like you. Maybe they want to have a conversation with you. You're a likable person. No,
but sometimes.
Nick, I mean, it's awful what happened to you, but I'm glad you're in this fight and I'm glad you're continuing to push on. I'm very grateful for that. Nick Sorter, thank you for joining us. I know you're a busy man taking calls, trying to go after these left-wing terrorist organizations like Antifa and others. So we appreciate all that you do. So thank you.
Appreciate you, Brian.
All right, folks, I want to remind you all that we can only stay in this fight because of, well, you. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. When you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you're helping to fund our next operation. They want to silence us, but they're not going to silence us. We're not going to allow it. So every time you support our efforts by supporting the shop, we can continue on and keep this thing going. We've got a whole team of staff here, and they love to join us the next project. So help us out. Head over to thealexjonesstore.com today. Again, we greatly appreciate it when you support us, of course. There's a lot going on in the world. I want to make sure we just kind of keep up with the news cycle. I just noticed that Attorney General Pam Bondi just posted on X this interesting post regarding a Facebook group that was recently removed doxing ICE agents in Chicago. So that's the good news, is that Facebook has now removed this large group page, which was doxing ICE agents. Now, I actually, one of my researchers, he stumbled upon two websites that were doxing these agents. And so, again, this is a real threat. They are out there intentionally doxing these agents, going after them and trying to threaten them. I mean, we heard the audio yesterday that we showed you. We listened. It was a DHS employee who was probably an ICE agent, who was receiving threats to their voicemail. So these people are out of their freaking minds, and it's not surprising, of course, that they do all of this, but we need to be defending these ICE agents. We need to make sure that they're okay, because it's not acceptable to allow this all to happen, and we need to make sure that they're okay. And that's the big point in all of this. So it looks good, Facebook taking down that group message, that group chat, where they were all just kind of sending and doxing these agents. So this is good news from the Attorney General. Okay, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the Department of War, because the Department of War has made some changes with the members of its media, and they're not very happy about it. I've been talking about this for a little bit, but according to a new report, there's individuals, outlets that are refusing to sign a new access rules for members of the media over at the Pentagon. Ultimately, outlets like CNN, Reuters, AP, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Atlantic, NPR, and now Newsmax are saying that they're not going to be signing this because they disagree with it. Now, I've spoken to some individuals over at the Department of War about their new regulations regarding the media access. And of course, I am an advocate for the First Amendment, so I have no problem calling them out if I think that there's possibly a violation to that. Here's the thing. Okay, so it was detailed to me earlier on. They are not going to be allowing, and I thought this was crazy that they could do this in the first place. They're not going to be allowing media outlets to just kind of allow their journalists to roll around, walk around the Pentagon and have access to every little nick and cranny of the Pentagon. Obviously, that's a national security issue. And so they are buckling down. You have to show that you have credentials now, which again is very important, because if you're walking around a place of employment for others, what's to say a journalist strike up a conversation with someone who doesn't know that they're a journalist and trying to extract information from them? So that's not a bad thing. Okay. I like that. I like the fact that they have to show their credentials, that if they're going to certain areas, they have to be brought there by a DOW. I always say DOD, so it's a little hard to get this one out. The Department of War employee follows them through. I think that's okay. I don't have an issue with that. But the issue that a lot of these outlets are having, The Pentagon Press Association claims the policies gag Pentagon employees' limited information access and threaten retaliation against reporters who seek unapproved information and release it. So what they're saying here is that if they're given information that's not handed down from the comms team, the communications team, and they release it, that is considered a violation of these new rules. Now, when I asked the Department of War specifically about that, because, yeah, I could see that being an issue, they said that that's always been something that's been a rule over the Department of War. And that's nothing new. They're just putting it down in writing so that it's clear for the media to understand that. Now, again, I've never worked for the Department of War as a journalist, so I don't know 100% if that's true. But I can tell you that it is our job as journalists to release information. As long as it's not classified, you could release it. And so, yeah, I mean, I could see a little bit of outrage over that. You shouldn't have the Pentagon trying to censor your coverage. And that's ultimately what that would do. That would absolutely censor your coverage. So there's elements of it that I agree with. Whether or not that's something that's been a practice going on for a very long time now, I can't really answer to that. That's what I was told when I asked these questions. I was told that this has been going on for a long time now. We're just putting it in writing so that the journalists understand what our standards are here. And so it's a bit of a toss-up, right? Because you, as journalists, I've received unauthorized information, not classified information, unauthorized, which just means that I didn't get this officially from the DOD or the Department of War. I got this from a source, and I'm going to release this information because it's not classified. That's journalism. Again, some of my biggest stories came from sources who wanted to stay anonymous, and they gave me documents that weren't classified, and I reported on it. So I understand why these journalists would be upset by that. I do think that is an issue. I mean, what's the retaliation for a journalist who does release information that wasn't authorized by the Department of War? It's a fair question to bring up. Any type of restrictions to a press, I am against. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. And I don't think we should stand for it. And so I'm a little divided on this. I don't believe that media should be able to have full access to the Pentagon. I agree that they should have restricted access. They shouldn't be able to just walk around. They should have to display their credentials. When I worked at baseball games, major league stadiums, you always had to have your credentials on. So again, it's nothing crazy. They don't want someone going over to a player and trying to get access to them without them realizing they're speaking to a member of the media or for security reasons. So yes, it does make sense. It does make sense to do that. But I would need a little bit more understanding about what is approved information that they're allowed to report on. Because we're a free press. We don't ask for approval. It's not classified. It's fair game. And so I think that's a really, really important thing to look at. So again, I think it's interesting. Obviously, it's a lot of corporate media outlets and Newsmax now jumping on board with it. We haven't heard yet about Fox's stance, but you know, Pete Hegseth worked for Fox. A lot of the people who are there right now all have media experience that I've been speaking to. So I don't think that they're really trying to infringe. Maybe this just needs more clarification. And of course, I'll be reaching out to the Department of War to get a little bit more on that. And I welcome, they have such incredible people who work for them. I welcome their comms team to the show. I'd love to have them on. I know they're busy with the government shutdown these days, but I'd welcome them, this platform, of course, to come on here and talk to us all about this, of course. All right, folks, so we are getting ready to wrap up the American Journal for today. But here's the thing. We just broke news for you guys. So I need you all at home right now to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and support us because, folks, it looks like they are trying their very best to crush InfoWars. And so we've got to be ready to get our next operation up and running. And the only way we do that is when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and you make a purchase. All of your purchases will go towards helping us stay in this information battle. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. That does it for me today. I'll be back here tomorrow morning. I look forward for you all to join me, of course. But up next is Alex Jones, so don't go anywhere.
Hakeem Jeffries, the petty tyrant, wants you to shut up.
Why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
He doesn't want you to have free speech. He doesn't want you to be able to exercise your views and stand up for yourself. That's because he, like other tyrants in the EU, Canada, the UK, the Democratic Party, can't win with their ideas that are so unpopular. They can only silence people. So in honor of him trying to tell all of us to shut up.
Can you, like, shut up?
You get an additional 10% off right now at theAlexShowStore.com on top of all the other big sales with promo code Hakeem. It's that simple. You know Hakeem Jeffries and the Democratic Party have been attacking us, attacking you, attacking President Trump, trying to bully us into submission, but it's not going to work. And the larger store sale that's going on right now is all of the Patriot t-shirts, the Patriot apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs are 1997 in honor of myself and the crew launching Infowars.com in 1997, 28 years of the Infowar. So that is the Veterans of the Infowar sale. And on top of it, 10% off at checkout with the promo code Hakeem. And there's a bunch of limited edition Infowars, Veterans of the Infowars shirts, all the original designs and more. Because if Infowars is shut down and the bad guys get the name, they've said they're going to try to stop us from using the term Infowar in the future. But it's a generic term. It belongs the world. They're going to try to misrepresent it with The Onion and Bloomberg, who are running all of this. It's going to blow up in their face big time. But regardless, for original InfoWars designs and these limited editions that help fund this operation and the future operation, the Alex Jones Network backup, it is critical to get these right now because it could be your last chance. It's all coming to a head right now. So thank you all for your support. You are veterans of the InfoWar, and I salute you all.